Blog Talk Radio. I am so happy to be here tonight. It has been such a long journey. I've been in Australia, and I have been traveling, and it's been an amazing time. I do realize that this has been an interesting month or so for lots of spirits. I've been seeing a real settling and lots of really low, I call it like kind of the doldrums of not knowing what to do next, of waiting for the job to happen, waiting for the boyfriend to finally make the move or for moves to actually happen. I really can feel it myself, and I really, when I do feel that, I usually stay away from people and I stay away from working. I actually give my work to my girlfriend. I was away, so she did that for me. But, you know, I really knew that it was my time to go deeper and to get clearer on purpose and what is really important for me at this very moment. So it takes that awareness that you're just not in the right place, that there's something not quite right, that will kind of move you to find out what it is. And instead of push it away and drink more, eat more, go out more, really spirit is asking you to get quiet and to get really simple with your question, because the simple questions are easy for spirit to answer. Like, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, what's my purpose? Well, I always think that when you're doing what you love and you love what you're doing, then you're in spirit and spirit can work through you. It's real simple, isn't it? It doesn't have to be this doing thing. It just happens to have to touch your heart and be something that when you are involved with it, or when you are participating, if it's music or painting or dancing or helping another, you feel like this tingling in your stomach that you can't explain. It feels like, wow, that was a great moment. That was a great day I just experienced. That's how you know you're in your purpose. And if you're at a job where you go and you shut down your purpose, that's another one to look at. A lot of times people are having to work to make the money, and they really have a lot more in them that they're not using, that they put on hold. So what I'd like to do is we're going to start to clear away that old self, the limited self. And I ask you, everybody, to put their feet firmly on the ground. And now taking a deep breath in, we're going to ask all your angels and guides to come into the room right now to come and support you on this amazing journey that you're on. We ask them to support us tonight, to give us clarity and insight. We ask for any information to be easily heard and accepted. And we ask for enlightenment, for our souls to lighten up, to be brighter, to be the shiny, wonderful selves that they were supposed to be every single minute they are here in this plane. So we ask Spirit to help us shine us up, to brighten us up, to bring us out of the doldrums of ourselves, and to, in a sense, bring us back into that beautiful light that we were born with, that we came in knowing about. And we ask our guides and angels to support us in this knowing of ourselves that we'd like to know more of. And as we take a deep breath in, we let the light of life and beauty come into our bodies, breathing it in, letting it come through the top of your head, and being now opening up your third eye, coming through and opening up your throat. Now opening up your heart. and bringing it down further and opening up your solar plexus and stomach and your root chakra, and bringing all the energy down through your legs into Mother Earth. There we go. And waiting until we can feel the center of the earth, and that we are one with Mother Earth, and that we are here being supported, being energized, being loved. And we're bringing now the energy up through the earth now and coming all the way up into our bodies. And now all the way through and out the top of our heads. There we go. And I want you now to breathe and expand your body into the room. Feel yourself stepping out of your small little compartment body and now feeling yourself becoming bigger, as big as the room. And now feeling yourself getting even bigger. Feeling yourself now on top of the building that you're in. If it's a house, an apartment, feel yourself on top. And now feel yourself sitting on a cloud, looking down. And now feel yourself expanded into the universe. Into that frequency of dimension and color. And now feeling how big you really are and how important this question is to your soul. I want you now to ask the question for Spirit to help you get to answer, elevate. And if there is no question, that's good too. But feeling yourself at this large, beautiful, shining space, I want you now to open your eyes and enter into the room you're in. I'm feeling how different that feels when you have expanded to that beautiful, amazing power. Because there's power in knowing how big you are. I think the thing that happens with us all is that we forget. And when we really remember is when we can have life happen intentionally, is when we can put our loving energy towards an issue instead of fear towards an issue. The difference between that is amazing. When you put fear, you are in worry. That's a good way to know. You're worried about what could go wrong. When you put love towards an issue, you are only seeing the possibilities of greatness. You're only feeling an outcome of the highest frequency. That's the difference that we have to check in with ourselves when we are asking for help or seeing a situation. Am I seeing it through fear or love is the question you have to always ask yourself. And if you notice that you're in fear, then just like an elevator, I want you to bring your consciousness down into your heart, like little elevators going down to this beautiful, bright light. And when you get there, the door opens, and now you are seeing through those beautiful, bright eyes. There's a big difference there. I know you can feel it. I know you can feel the change when you step into your heart. So we're going to start taking callers. I'm loving that we have a full board tonight, and we have 2 hours, so I'm hoping to get to everyone. So let's see if we can get the first caller. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hi, my name's Jordana. How are you?
Hi, Jordana. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm happy to take your call. So what is one of the questions you'd like to kind of bring to Spirit and see what they'll be saying for you or helping you with?
No, absolutely. Well, it's a relationship question.
All right. Those are good.
I started seeing this guy. His name is Brandon. I don't know if you knew this name, but his name is Brandon. And things have been going really well. However, I've been traveling, and he doesn't really want to make it official until I'm back in town, as far as, like, in a monogamous, you know, relationship.
Right.
So I'm just wondering if you see that happening when I do get back to town. Are we going to, you know, I guess, officially go to that level?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it feels like you already know that. My guys are asking you. That's funny. My guys are really laughing about this one. What I got was they were saying, of course it's going to go to that level. It's up to her. And so I really get that when you step into that you are the goddess and that, of course, he's waiting for you to, you know, be there so that it can really be official. I really believe that, you know, is ultimately the truth of why he's saying once you get here and you can be, you know, really invested in this relationship, then, of course, it's going to get to that next level. Yeah. But so the only thing, one second. All right. So, okay. My guide just said, ask her about why she doesn't want to really go there. So I get that there is some kind of, there's something that is fear. You have a bit of fear about.
Oh my gosh. I have a lot of fear. It's not a little bit of fear.
You're saying to me, oh, tell her it's really up to her, but why, you know, it's because of this fear. Okay, so let's say we work on getting rid of some of the fear.
Yeah.
And really erasing it and really stepping into this really clean slated, you know, and really having a real sense of adventure to your spirit instead of fear, because that's different. Now, if you say, I'm going to give it a try, I'm going to really give this this my heart, I'm going to let it open, I'm going to trust, I'm going to, you know, believe that he's a good man and that he's going to take care of me and that I'm going to have to worry.
Yeah, that's the hardest part for me, I'm very independent. I'm a very independent woman, and I've never had a man, like not even my father. My father left my family for another woman when I was young. So I've never had a man who I could like fully trust. You know what I mean? So that's what's so scary for me, that like I'm like, okay. And that's like we've fought the past few days, and I feel like it's just me and my fear doing that, like on purpose. And
yeah,
he's continued to stay there, and I'm like, why are you still here?
It's that double test. Oh, no, if I'm really, you know, mean, will he still be there? And if he does, then maybe he really loves me. You know, so fear will push you and push away what it wants. Mm-hmm. You know, love wants to be, you want to be loved, but fear will constantly test it out to see whether or not this person is going to really stick it out and stay. And even if you're nasty and a bitchy and all those wonderful things, you know, they're going to really support you. So we are pushing fear at love, because if you can see, that's what you're doing. You're pushing the fear at him, and you're seeing whether or not he's going to stay.
And I don't. So, he continues to be like this amazing man.
So I'm getting, my guys are saying he's there for you to learn how to trust. And so if you can look at him as this teacher that he is, you can say, okay, I'm going to take baby steps towards trusting you. I'm going to take baby steps, and I'm going to allow myself to feel the fear but not let it push any love away. And that's a really important thing. You can feel it, but don't, in a sense, give over to it. Because
it will leave you alone because of the fear.
Yeah, it will leave you completely alone and abandoned, because fear is not a welcoming energy. Nobody wants to be around someone fearful or jealous, or it just doesn't. It just pushes people away.
No, it's negative.
Yeah, it really, but you know, it's like fear is useful in some ways if you think about it. Like I always think if you're walking down a street and you see two large men and all of a sudden you get afraid, it's a good thing.
Yes, you should
right?
run.
Because it's a real logical reason to feel that way. But to have it take over and for really no reason other than what has happened to you, and I say that from childhood on with men, then what we're doing is we're projecting a lot of that fear and that unhappiness, that mistrust that we had because of father. You know, father is our first
right.
relationship, so every man, good or bad, is going to follow, in a sense, suit to what we think about men are going to be. So what I want to do is I want to erase some of that. Let's erase all that. And I want you to tell me what a good man is like for you. How does it, what would he have? What kind of qualities would this man possess? You?
Respect and honesty are the two main things that come to my mind.
Okay. All right, so I want you to put before that, respect and honest. I believe that men are respectful and honest. Okay? I believe will take you into places that you will never have been to before if you don't, you know, really get to. Belief is all of it. Belief will take you into God, will take you into love, will take you into everything. So it can also take into the negative as well. So let's start the new I believe, and I want you to write this down, get a piece of paper. And
okay.
I want you to say, I believe that men are honest and loving. Okay. And I believe they want to respect women. I believe, what else would you like them to be believing about? I believe they're
loyal.
Loving. Loyal, okay. I believe that they are loyal and trustworthy. I believe that they are kind and spiritual. I believe, you know, I want you to go for it. I want you to write down everything.
And just write the list of everything.
And write the list. And now every day, I want you, before you go to bed, is to say it. I don't care if you don't believe it. I want you to say, I believe. Because whatever you put the I before, everything follows. If you
yes.
think about it. The I is the biggest, is who you are. It's how you identify yourself. I is very powerful. Believe is even more powerful. So those two are extremely, they're like razors to the consciousness of, and they will take you into the energy of it. And it's
absolutely.
What we can, it's what we keep saying, you know, so it's like if we want love, but yet we're afraid, and we do everything opposite of it, and then we don't get it, then what happens is the fear has shown us it's right, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you got it.
It's so
funny. It gets real powerful.
I was going to say, it's so funny because I haven't been in a relationship in 3 years. So mm-hmm. for the past 3 years, I've been saying, I want this, this, and this, and this. And Brandon has literally everything. It's just so
mm-hmm.
ironic.
It sounds, you know, he feels, and I'm going to say that because he feels very, very balanced and very sweet, and he does feel very kind to me, and yet he feels
he
very strong in himself. And so where you can't rock him off his center, which is really good. So because if your fear was going to move him or make him afraid, he would bow down to it in a sense. But he stays very centered. That's what I feel about this man. And I really get that. That's what you need. Someone that isn't going
to. It is. Someone to give me that balance, too.
Yeah.
Because
that's what he feels. So I like it. I do. I want you to trust. And I want you to
trust
say,
him.
I believe that this is a wonderful spirit. And I believe in his honest nature. I believe, you know, that men, and this is a powerful one, I believe that men want to love me.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, I can
because
definitely
ultimately
do that.
That's it. Yeah, because I believe is really the biggest thing right here. And it will change everything. You're going to start to say, boy, we're getting along so much better.
Well,
it's going to be manifest what it is that you want. And see, saying I want to me is only it's giving the universe a sign that you want something, right? But when you think about it, like I want something, so it goes, okay, well, we'll want you to want that. We want you to want somebody nice. We want you to want some kind, you know. And so I always think the more powerful the statement is, the universe knows exactly what it's working with, and your guides know exactly, and you become the powerful being that you are by that statement of belief. Okay, so to
okay,
me.
No, absolutely. I will do that. And I was going to ask you really quick. All I know you said that he's a lesson for me.
Yeah.
And is he, like, I guess, is it more as well, like, than just a lesson? I guess it's.
Oh, no. Everybody's a lesson. But there are lesson relationships that will teach you to move out and into a bigger space. So the ones that you marry, the ones that are really profound in your life, are usually lesson relationships. They come along and they really make you see who you are. Good and bad. Yeah, they're lesson relationships. And when I see that around somebody, I know that it's a meaningful, it's more soul-based, it's more more of a connection of lifetimes. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised that you have a lot of similarities.
Yes, that's insane.
You know, like, yeah, so if you did like past lives, you'd probably find each other in those past lives. So I would say you probably have a couple. So you really feel it to me, that feeling of knowing each other. And that's can be good and that can be bad. So I always say it's interesting. You can know somebody, but it could be someone in your past that you were in war with. So we always know somebody because we are progressing constantly through karma, right? So you will meet somebody and you'll say, gee, I really, but the relationship might not have been on a high note. It may have been on a low note. And so it could be why it doesn't work, or it could be why you want to get to know that person and then run the other way. So there are many different teaching relationships. This one feels, and I'm going to say, feels like a high spirit, a loving support teaching, all right, teacher. And I'm so glad he came along now, because you don't want to keep playing this fearful, pushing away
No,
game.
No, I don't.
You know,
I
really,
want only positive light in my life.
Yeah, it will not serve you in the big picture. So I'm so glad he showed up for you. And it feels like when you do get more situated and when you do finally arrive in that one place and you can really put some anchors down, then I do think you will. I feel like it will be a six. I keep seeing a six within a 6-month period, move in. It feels like a quick thing once you finally get there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exciting. I'm so happy I called in. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sweetie. And let me know how it goes. I'd love to hear.
I will. I'll call you back and let you know for sure.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, everyone, that was exciting. So we're going to take the next caller, 646-509. Who am I talking to?
Hey, Patty, how are you? Oh, this is Christina.
Hi, Christina. How are you?
I'm
know.
Glad that
are
you came back.
Well, I know. I had been in China, and then I was in Australia, and, you know, then I'm trying to get back into my life, too. So, yes, I've missed everybody. So how are you? What can we do for you tonight?
Well, I would like to give some guidance on this person named David.
Okay, David. All right, let's see what Spirit has to say. It's just charismatic. Focus. Communicate with vision and be a leader. Advice from someone creative. I like that. Has a good feeling. So it says bothersome details, conflict with others. So sometimes when, you know, something has not yet clicked, you know, like clicked into a real groove of knowing what the relationship is really going to be, this confusion card comes up. It's like you're not sure, you haven't really, you know, it hasn't gone into that knowing stage you know, like real knowing about what's mm-hmm. really going on kind of thing. So that's maybe what it's showing me, that maybe in you or in him there's a feeling of uncertainty. And so in that, it's just sometimes it's just the beginning stages of a relationship. Everyone goes through it. They just don't really know which way it's going to go. You know how it's going to pan out. So they just meet, they kind of hang out, and now they're kind of in limbo, not knowing, you know, how does he really feel? What's he really doing? You know, that kind of thing. So it could be why, and it's showing me this. So it says new career opportunities. So for you, it may be giving me the sense that you have things that are taking you away that are more important, like yourself, your career, getting yourself going in a sense. And that could be kind of in the middle of forming a relationship, you know, at right this moment. You know, so we're talking about right this moment. So, and everything is open for change. Just know that, you know, as you move into like more security, everything will start to kind of move and get calmer for you. It just feels a little bit unsettled. Great sadness. Okay. So my question is, have you had a lot of sadness around this person?
Yes.
Okay, because that really came up strong. So, do you need, and forgiveness, it says, the need to forgive yourself or others. So, is forgiveness really around the sadness that you have to get to?
Well, I just don't even know why. Well, first of all, I don't even know how this person feels about me, number one, mm-hmm. and how, you know, this is going to go anywhere. Because the great sadness that I feel is really, I feel I'm being rejected by him, and that really mm-hmm. hurts me.
Right, right. So that's where the forgive yourself comes in, because that's, again, that's a feeling that we have to stop having about ourselves, that someone could reject us. Okay, because love is not something that is rejectable. You know what I mean?
And I really don't know how he feels about me, mm-hmm. or that I'm just being too pessimistic.
So let's go back into why you feel his rejection. Is there words that were said, or is it a feeling that was just felt, or is it he's not calling? Is there an action that's causing you to feel rejected?
Because he doesn't initiate any contact.
Okay. All right. So he's being in a neutral zone. You have to go to him if you want to,
yeah.
or talk to him. Okay, so he's kind of this is a feeling I get about this person. He doesn't really know how or to be very intimate, you know, and you do. And so that's something you have to say to yourself. Am I loving or wanting someone who is not capable, and I say possibly at this time, of giving me what I need? So that's a good question for a lot of women out there choosing the men that are not acceptable, attainable. And so, you know, if we had, in a say, we just talked about the last wonderful woman about the father issues. Let's say your father was not available to you emotionally, we could be, and I say that, duplicating the feeling that we have about men within relationships that we have as we get older. You know, so we pick men that are unavailable emotionally because we didn't really have that as a father, you know, in our lives. So a lot of women, and I have to say that from experience, it's something you have to recognize so that you can heal that piece. And I say heal it by acknowledgement and giving it. And I always say the way to heal this is to give this to God and to give this to the higher, your higher, you know, self in a sense, to take this away and look again with fresh eyes and an open heart to what is what you really deserve, okay? Because this is what I keep getting. My spirit guides are saying, she's so lovely, she's so kind, she's so caring, and she needs someone who can appreciate that. That's what I keep getting. My guide is like right here saying this to me. So I really need you to hear that, okay? That you, there is nothing wrong with you, okay? And that
so
his...
So you don't
his,
see any possibility between me and him?
You know, I do. I do see possibility. Isn't that funny? I do. And Spirit just showed me something real interesting. Once
you...
you
know, it's funny because I kept on running into this person under the weirdest circumstances, and things that followed are so weird that I don't know how to explain it. And I wasn't sure if the universe is trying to, you know, play a bad joke on me, or that it was all a coincidence. Because every time I thought about giving up on this person, then he shows up, and then funny things happen afterwards that I just can't explain. And it just kind of kept me, hooked, I guess. And this is really annoying. And that's why I wonder, why is the universe playing such a bad joke on me when if this guy is not available or not interested in me, then just get rid of that person from my life, or, you know, at least stop, you know, all these incidences where I run into this person.
Right, right. But until, and I say this, until it's healed, you're going to keep running into it. You know what I mean? Until, you know, and then I say that because it's almost like you have to get this one at a really deep level, releasing it, like really, like see him in front of you right now. Let's see him, okay? And I want you to see him busy with his life and not really purposely avoiding you, but just busy. You know, has some family issues, has some things going on, busy at work, you know, trying to get things going. Maybe he's just thinking of, you know, moving. Who knows? Let's just see him extremely busy. And then now see him. It has nothing to do with you, right? There's no reason he's saying, I am intentionally not calling. I am intentionally, you know, avoiding her. It's not really there. It's just that he's busy. So here you run into someone who knows and, you know, is keeping you kind of, I say almost like abreast of what he's up to, what he's doing, kind of like this. So you keep having to know about it, right? So you're going, oh, okay, I'm back to thinking about this. I'm back to knowing about him. And you would rather not, because you kind of want to know, well, why haven't you called? Why are you so distant? But if you know that he is really not purposely ignoring you, and I really don't think he is. I think that's I think his life, and I almost get he's ADD, and I'm going to say that. I feel like his mind, I feel like when I'm around him, I am like spinning. Do you know what I mean? Like I'm spinning energetically. I'm not calm. I'm kind of like, don't hear. I feel like he's not in a settled and energetic position to really have relationship. Now, if he is ADD or OCD, it could be the energy I'm picking up around him. So I want you to separate and just see him over there doing his thing. And it, now you bring in it, you're watching this movie and you're saying, oh, it has nothing to do with me. Nothing. So now take a deep breath into that feeling of it not having anything to do with you. Nothing. He's just a busy guy. You've had times in your life that you can understand being real busy and not calling people back, you know, and all that. So I want you to, through understanding, we can start to separate out the attachments that we are giving people. So now if you hear about him, you would say, oh, he's, yeah, oh, that's okay, that's him over there, and he's been busy, and I'm not still so focused on why. And this feeling that I keep conjuring up, in a sense, because it really is you feeling that way. So the more you can distance him and put him over there, viewing him like a movie, I mean, just doing his life with his buds, you know, all that that guys do, and really separate it from being having something to do with you. And that's what I feel will help you get through this, in a sense, without constantly feeling like you're the victim of this story, because you're not, okay? Because that feeling like he didn't do it for you, that's putting you into this vulnerable position. So I don't like that. That doesn't feel good to me, because you're such a powerful being. You're so bright. You have really good reasoning skills and understanding skills that can say, hey, it's, you know, okay, that's what that is. And if we can use them on an energetic level, it will rise you to a higher frequency, in a sense, where you won't be so pulled into the emotional stuff that you've, you know, and I say we create it. We create it, and then because we think it, and then we create it, and then we kind of feel it, you know, and it becomes a rut that our emotions are getting us into. So I want to push you over to another place, envisioning this whole situation, and that will help you, and I mean that, step out of this feeling that you have, because it's just a feeling. It's not true. It's not true at all. And I do get, and I mean this, I feel like you will be running into him, and I keep getting a five, so it could be 5 days, 5 weeks, I keep getting a five. So it may be that you will really be running right into him, and you'll be able to talk and say, oh, yeah, you've been, you know, so there will be a sense of connection, in a sense, of finding out more. And then that's going to really relieve some of this feeling. But I really get that letting him go, in a sense, over there, seeing him busy, is your answer here to separating yourself out from you having some reason, you know, that did anything. Because you didn't, you know.
Right.
You didn't.
So I wonder if this is going to lead to anywhere, or that we're going to just kind of remain as in this friend zone.
Well, yeah, you are in the friend zone. The five is giving me some kind of indication that there's something that's going to happen, that you'll run into him, and you'll know, like you're going to know, okay, all right. Then, and you'll know one way or the other, and it feels like it feels like it's up for grabs. It feels like I'm not seeing a real definite thing. But I do get that the more you let go of it and let it kind of just, you know, move into this natural course that's going to happen, then it will happen, and it will be okay. You're not going to be too attached to it, and that's what I want you to get to see, is that let's unplug from him. Okay, we're going to unplug the cord, pump, and we're going to plug it back into you, okay? We're going to plug all your energy and all your focus and all that back into you, okay? We're going to take a deep breath in, and we're going to just try to fill in that space and that with, you know, that feeling that you have of feeling like, you know, rejected. I want you to start to fill that up, and let's take it out and put it over there. It's almost goopy. It's like very dark stuff. So we're going to put that in this little jar. I'm going to have the angels take it away. There we go. All right, good.
So a little wings.
Yes, I know. I just saw that. And so here we go. Let's just fill that back up with really good love for yourself and excitement for your right now, for your moment. And also, like, some of the things that you love to do. Let's bring those. Let's bring your joy back into you. You know, like, do you love music? Let's start playing some really happy music. Do you love to dance? Let's go dancing. You know, let's start to fill you up again. That makes you feel full and complete as a beautiful light being that you are. Okay. And that's just you.
Yeah.
That doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. Just you. Okay?
Right. And it's funny how you mentioned about the career change, because I recently applied for a job with this guy named Eric. Mm-hmm. He hasn't responded to me, but I wonder if I will be hearing back from him, you know, because I really wanted to get a job with him. And, you know,
I think this is okay, though, but this is what I want you to do. I want you to put your focus into something that will feed you and make you expand. So if you wanted to work with this guy and you really want, I want you to give him a call, okay? And put yourself,
did,
in a sense, back into the vision. Okay, do it again.
Right.
I mean, maybe a couple days later, you know. Don't be a pest, but I mean, like, you know, don't forget about it. Don't forget that this is.
No, I don't want to bother, because I already emailed him twice,
mm-hmm.
and he does check his emails, and I don't want to, like, you know, be a pushover. If you know, that could, like, actually cause the opposite. You know, it could.
It could, and I do hear you on that one. I keep getting. It's okay, and I get that a four comes up, so maybe, you know, in a, like, 4 days or so. Is there any way you could write a note to him or something? Like, do you have a personal, something that you could say more personal related to him? I keep getting what happens is emails are just extremely, you know, they get them so they might get 200 a day if they're, you know, as a job. And sometimes you have to go around, you know, around the way that they normally get to people to really get their attention. So I always say through a friend, sometimes through, you know, another means to get their attention to say, oh, yeah, you know, I forgot about you, you know, kind of thing. And let's talk again, kind of thing. So it feels like that is, if you could, if you're somebody who knows him, or is there another way that you can reach him? Is there some other way? Because that's what I keep feeling, is that that's the way is to go around what he's normally getting every day. See, I get a lot of emails. I get so many. And I go through them, like, you know. And I have a lot of the ones that I'm like, okay, I'll get to that later. I'll get to, you know, because I have to do so many. So I always think that that's probably a lot more people have even more emails than I do. So, but if I get something in the mail, or if I run into someone who knows somebody, they are always kind of, you know what I mean? It goes through me a little bit faster. I get to it. So just that's what Spirit's showing me. So there may be another way to get to this person. So let's try that. Let's see. Let's put it out there and say, Spirit, angels, guides, I want you to show us how we can reach him and really touch his heart so that he can pay attention to her for a work position. So we're going to ask for that? Okay. I'm going to send it. All right, good. So take a deep breath into that and let that be. Let that come to you, okay? So not worrying about it, but let it come to you, okay? So let's say, okay, I'm going to let that information come to me. I am open for somebody who may know that person so that I can find out, you know, more on how I could talk to him again, you know? So this is what we need to do. We need to, like, wiggle a little bit, you know, because what we get is really restricted and rigid in our visions and views. And if we can just wiggle even around a situation and make some wiggle room, then we're getting ourselves outside the box that we're putting ourselves in, you know, the emotional box or the feelings that confine us. So I always say find wiggle room, find something else in a sense that's beautiful to take you somewhere else, and then all of a sudden you get some space in there, you know? So I really feel good things. I really don't think that this is, I know that this is something that is old for you, this feeling of going towards people that aren't available. So I want you to look at that one, all right? I want you to, and then I want you to start to heal that one. Okay, so just like we did with the last, I want you to statement of I believe that men are available to me, or I believe that men are loving and will love me. I believe that they are ready for a relationship. Okay, I want you to start writing what a belief system that supports what you really want. Okay? Okay. All right. So a little bit of homework. And homework is good. Homework is what we're here to do. It's we're here to do the homework so that Spirit can work with us, really. It's not, they're not joking. And I always think, you know, I always think that was pretty funny, you know. And I know they laugh sometimes at me because I'm like, okay, how many times did this person, I, you know, have to come around five or six times and all of a sudden I'm going, okay, I get it. You want me to say something. Because, I mean, when Spirit's on the other side and, you know, and I keep running into the person at the market or I go to a party and that person's there. And now I know I'm seeing their father on the other side. And the father keeps saying, aren't you going to say something? Aren't you going to say something? And I'm like, oh, really? No, I don't. They might think I'm crazy, you know, that kind of thing. And I will run into that person five times. And finally, you know, there they are, and they're sitting in front of me, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to tell you, do you know what I do? And they say, yeah, all right, your dad's here. And they're like, oh, my dad just died. And, you know, and then I know that Spirit was trying every time, every chance they could to work with me so that I would say something. And because I'm so, because I'm very shy, I really am. I know that sounds, I am shy in person. Like, I would never be like the medium, New York medium or whatever, and go up to people and say, oh, you're, you know, I feel like I wouldn't want them to feel funny, you know? So it takes me a lot. and I get spirit is probably very frustrated with me sometimes. So, you know, like, I mean, you know, and then finally I'm like sitting there, I'm like, okay, and the woman is like crying and her dad's like, okay, I'm really glad you got to tell her about that, you know. So it could be pretty funny, and I'm thinking, wow, that was really important, you know, that he really wanted me to say something. So I really think that it's really something that we have to trust, and maybe we are very stubborn, and I say that because I know I am, to listen. And so if we didn't get something, like we didn't get a chance for closure and we needed it, and you keep running into people that, no, it is telling, spirit is saying, well, you need to have closure here. If it is going to be the end, you need closure, because then you can know more about it and put it to rest. Right? So spirit could be playing with you, but on a high note, not on a bad one. You know, they would never do, and I know this personally, they will never do anything to hurt you. They'll only do things to help you, to help you close a situation or heal a situation. And so that's all I know. So let's just know that about your guides, and know that they're really just here to just remind you that if you're not letting this go, then, of course, your energy's attracting it back to you again, you know. And so you run into somebody. It's really interesting how that happens. But as soon as you can push them over there, see them busy, see them and not so invested anymore energetically in him, you'll be free again to breathe. And you'll probably run into him, you know, and it will be an answer, and it will be, oh, okay, you've been, you know. I keep getting work around him, too. I keep getting almost been traveling. I keep getting busy around him. So it could be the OCD or ADD that I'm picking up, but it feels like a really busy energy, you know. So it could be, and I feel like everybody has been going a million miles an hour these days, you know. I really can feel this acceleration happening for people. So,
this chance, the encounters I kept on having with him is really the spirits want me to get a closure.
Yeah, or yes, and closure just means information. You know, because when you get information that, oh, he's busy with a job, oh, he's got, even if he had another girl, I mean, you are going to get information that's going to help you understand it, and that is closure. As soon as you understand a situation, then
well,
you can close
it. Well, it feels already that, you know, it's not going to go anywhere, so I guess it's not even...
Well, you know, I just feel like, and let me just see. That's okay. Now, I keep getting a bee sound around you. It's interesting. Like a Brad or a Brian. And it feels like they're showing me this bee sound, this bee name. Because I just asked, is this the one? And then they took me to this name. So I'm guessing that they're trying to say, if you release this, and I mean this, release it in love, this new person, this new energy is going to really come towards you and shine, and you're going to notice them. And it has a B sound to it. I keep getting Brad, Brian, you know, something like that. B. And so that is something that is a good thing. They're showing me that letting it go will allow you to finally get what you really want, you know, and that's a loving relationship. So spirit is trying to work with you on this one. So I get that closure was important and is important. But sometimes you can do it, and I say this, you can do this just by releasing him in love and seeing him, you know, flying, you know, to his own happiness, releasing him in love, seeing him with no more resentment, you know, cutting all the ties of resentment and expectation and all the things that we have when we have relationships, and just cut them away and see yourself now completely, you know, encapsulated in your own beautiful light, you know, breathing and expanding, and he's way over there. There's nothing, you know, interfering with your own energy system anymore. And now you're the beacon of light. And I can see that. Real, real shiny and beautiful. And now you're shiny enough for someone else to see you. okay, for this bee that they're showing to see you and to be available for you to see him. Because this is the thing. This is what happens. When you're over there thinking of him, if this bee, Brian, we're going to call him Brian because I like that name. We're going to call him, if this bee came by you, walked right by your beautiful vision, you would not see him. Yeah, you would not even see him. You would not see him looking at you. You would not see him admiring you. You would just not see him because your energies are somewhere else. And that's just why releasing and letting it all go will allow you to notice what spirit is trying to bring to you. And that's what I can see. So don't worry. I really get just, you know, if you can, and this is something, we can't always do it ourselves. So I always ask your guides, ask God. I mean, ask whatever, the highest, you know, whoever you feel connected. Say, I can't do this. Could you please take my feelings towards and take this and release this for me? Because a lot of times it's really what we just need to do is ask for help to even release and let go of something. So, you know, this is something everybody needs to do. Say, God, I can't do this by myself. I need your help, you know. I'm real sticky. I just don't know how. It's, you know. And so every day you just say, please take this, angels. Please take this, guides. Take this feeling. And just wait until you feel some breath and space come into you. All right?
All right.
Okay, yes. And next time I know you're going to be calling because the new things are going to be happening. And exciting things, really. So,
right.
You know, it's the truth. And I know that we all want it to be, but, you know, they always say, thank God for unanswered prayers. You ever hear that statement? And believe me, I do believe that sometimes if you look back and you run into that person 10 years from now and you think, oh, my goodness, thank you, God, for not giving me what I asked for, you know. And so just know that, okay. That it's always arranged for your highest good. It really is. And most of the time, what messes us up are our feelings and our fears about really trusting that it's all going to be fine. You know, it really is. And I get that it feels fairly close to me. Like I'm feeling. I feel it. I feel it coming closer and closer, this energy, this relationship. So I feel like this new one is really close. So I would not, I would dress up. I would dress up. You know, I'd get a nice dress and do your hair really pretty. I would start shining, okay? Really start shining, okay? Because I want you to be seen. Or I want you energetically to be seen. Not that that would make you be seen, but, you know, when you feel good, it's that feeling that you want to put out there. But I get that it's coming pretty soon. So please just know that and trust. And in that, you can let go, right? I mean, to me, always is that feeling that of anticipation can release some of the feelings of, you know, of, well, like you said, of being rejected. So if you can anticipate this wonderful thing coming, it will start to take over and fill up some of that feeling that you had. Absolutely. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, sweetie. Let me know how it goes, okay? All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We love you
so far. Uh-huh. Hi, you're in Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Nada.
Hello?
Nada.
Hello, you're in Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Yeah. 805.
A ver si ella me ayuda, Débora. Las compras, cosas. A veces. A veces.
Oh, I don't know. Hello?
Pero ella no tiene dinero ahora.
No,
le da poco.
Okay. I'm going to go to the 740 number. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
This is Lori.
Hi, Lori. How are you? I couldn't understand that.
I
don't know Spanish. I'm so sorry. Well, maybe, and I'll just kind of answer some questions on the etheric plane for them. So how's it going?
It's going well, thank you. I just was wondering a little bit about my career. I am a business owner. I have a lovely business, and some things have kind of stopped some things, some of what I've been doing for the last 10 years has kind of come to a halt because of some state things. I'm wanting to expand and have gone in wonderful directions with it. But it's come to a screeching halt. So
oh.
I was just kind of wondering what you saw.
All right, let's see. Well, let's see what it says here. Oh, it's funny. So the first card, and that's why I use cards to kind of give me some indication, because spirit can kind of work through me a little bit, you know, to kind of give me the direction
mm-hmm.
to go to see. And so it defends your belief and decisions. That's the first. And stand your ground. Choose your battles wisely. So definitely it is about a choosing battles. It's about standing your ground. It's about, you know, kind of owning your power in this situation so that it will not waver, you know, so
mm-hmm.
especially if things have stopped. So you have to kind of reinstate your intention on it, you know. And
mm-hmm.
so, like, it's like a relationship. It's like, you know, sometimes people get married for the second time. And it's really about intention. It's like we're still here. We might have been 20 years, but we're going to do it again, you know. So it's probably a recommitment to what you had signed up for energetically and spiritually and also financially, too. So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of, this is what we were talking about in the beginning of the show, too. It has really been going on for a lot of people, and that means a reevaluation and kind of tweaking it so that it feels more authentic to who you are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it could mean that there is a sense that spirit is needing you to quiet down, to stop, and to pay attention to something else that's coming your way. So a lot of times it really is this doldrums that you're in and you're saying, what's up here? You know, why isn't anything happening or moving? And in there is change happening. It's just this quiet change that's happening. And that's what I keep getting. It's kind of like spirit is showing me. It's like, believe that the seed is being planted. You know, it's planted and you're it, and it's growing, and it's going to start to emerge anew, in a sense, energy. So reevaluation, kind of, you know, kind of exploring new avenues is coming up too for me.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be prosperous in the growth and in the changes that are coming? Is there prosperity with that?
Right, and that's exactly what it's showing me. It's kind of saying we had to stop, we had to stay put until we could figure out, you know, energetically where to go. You know, it's kind of like the direction. And it's almost like, you know, there's a gasoline station and there's three different, you know, roads, and you had to go and stop and say, which one should I take? Well, then the guy goes, you know, you can get here from, you know. And it's kind of like spirit is saying, instead of go the long way around, if you just wait it out, if you just wait it out, the next move will come and it come to you. But it's going to be that moment of saying, okay, what is it that I need to look at? What is it? Keep asking. And that to me is like, okay, what do you want to show me? You know, and
mm-hmm.
that day something will happen. You'll see something, and you'll think,
right.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah,
and then
I feel
right,
that.
I feel it too. I feel like it's really coming every day, and you got to just be really quiet and aware and write it down. You know, it's like I've been writing a book. Now, I'm not a book.
Oh,
I don't write. I don't write, so I don't really know how to. But spirit told me I had to write my stories about spirit. And so I would wake up in the middle of the night and just, my girlfriend is a writer. And so
mm-hmm.
when I told her, I said, you know, spirit told me I had to write a book. And she said, well, I'll write the book for you. And I said, really? And she said, yeah. I said, but what do I do? She said, just write me. When spirit speaks to you, get on your and send me the story.
Yeah,
and so,
cool.
I mean, I've been in Amsterdam, I've been in China, I've been in Australia, I've been all around the world, and everywhere I am, something comes up, I'll get a story that happened, just happened, or spirit, you know, and I'll write it and I'll send it to her. So I don't have the book in front of me, but over the, let's see, I've been doing this for maybe 6 months now. I have been sending her, you know, different stories. So I think, thank you.
That's
you
cool.
know, she's doing it for me. So I keep getting Spirit is kind of trying for you to learn something new, you know?
Right. Well, I'm hoping that in my, you know, this business I've had for about 10 years, and it's been wonderful, and I love it, and it really hasn't really, like, gone gangbusters like I would like it to. It's time for it to really grow and bloom. I have learned a lot, and mm-hmm. now it's decision-making time, and now is the time to really see it through and make it be what it's supposed to be all along. But meanwhile, as that manifests or as it, the decisions I have to make, you know, come to be, I'm also thinking, I just feel like, oh my gosh, are you ever going to be satisfied and ever done before I'm planted? I don't know. But I've been thinking about speaking inspirationally. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with me, as you were just describing, I had said to a friend that works, she has a business within my business, and she's very good at writing and very deep and very wise, lots mm-hmm. of wisdom, gifts mm-hmm. of wisdom with her. But I'm a person that will talk in circles if I'm not careful. I have a lot to say, but I'll start going on a tangent mm-hmm. and then get lost among it. But I get very excited and very encouraging. I have a lot of enthusiasm. And if she would just write, I told her, I said, you can write it and I will say it. And we can
yeah.
help heal and change people's thoughts and shift them into a positive forward mode. And
right.
She liked that idea. And I'm hoping that that's what I get to do in the future.
I do get that. That's, you know, like I always think Spirit gives me, like my situation always shows me something that I'm going through or have already gone through so that it will bring me to it. Like, sometimes when I'm doing a reading, I see my cat. Now, my cat was named Charlie. So when I do a reading, all of a sudden I see my cat. And so Spirit is showing me a cat, and I'm thinking, cat? What is? And then I'll say, oh, Charlie. And so I say, do you know, is there someone on the other same name Charlie? And they say, oh, that's my cousin.
That's my husband.
Yeah. So they show me things and they take me to my own experience so that, you know, they kind of work with you to get to what it is that person needs to see. So I always know that there's no coincidence that I was thinking about that, you know, and it was kind of shown that whole reality that if you can't do it, there's someone who can, and together you will do it together, you know.
Right.
And so this is the time for you, and I say this, to expand and to go deeper into what you're good at. Because
mm-hmm.
if you are a spiritual teacher and, in a sense, an inspiration for people's souls, this is the time. We need it now.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, we really, really need it now. So if that's what you are being called to do or feel like you could do, then Spirit is saying, do it. We've given you this person. She's right there. Let's start to see how this would look. Let's start to have her write. Let's start to have you speak. Let's have it be a blog. Have it be something that you are doing that you will get experience in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I keep getting that's what we have to do is expand where and do what we're good at without question. You know,
right.
if you can excite people and get them out of their doom and gloom, then that's your gift. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Yeah.
And not you are so what you are and I was gonna say, what you are is an alchemist. An alchemist is a healer that energetically goes into a place and changes the frequency. Alchemy is
mm-hmm.
when you can change metal into, you know, gold into liquid. It changes the vibration of the room. If that's
mm-hmm.
and I feel that's who you are as a healer.
Yeah.
You are an alchemist.
That's what I've been told.
Yeah,
I don't realize it, but I mean, people come into my store, and I know my store isn't about selling teapots. It's not really about that. It's what I do, but it's
mm-hmm.
not why I'm there. I'm there
right.
for people. I can see them running almost practically to the door, and I know they're not coming for that teapot or for
mm-hmm.
that little piece of jewelry or whatever, they're coming in to talk and be restored. And I know it as soon as I see them outside those windows. I'm like, uh-oh, they are so coming in here to be restored. And
right,
I love
right.
it.
Yeah,
and
you know that. So this is the knowing that we're talking about. Spirit is saying, you know, I gave you this gift, and you know
mm-hmm.
that people want to come in because they want to see you. They want you to raise your frequency. It's true.
I just
it's
would
very,
love
very
to do
true.
It.
Yeah,
I would love to do it on a I think a larger realm instead of one by one.
I
feel like I have more to offer. Yeah,
right,
for a
right.
larger
and
group.
Sure, but you know, like from, I'm just speaking in terms of who you are. You're always doing it. So the group will expand as you see fit, in a sense. Like if this girlfriend could write poems, music for somebody, you know, to sing or that you could be a part of, you can orchestrate also the frequency
yeah.
of alchemy. So you could have people coming in your shop that are harp players, or you could bring the energy.
I do have people come that are musical.
Good. Yes,
and guitarists
good.
And piano.
It feels good.
Are,
it feels
and,
like so
yeah.
right. But let's say, and so let me just say something. And so do you sing?
Oh, my goodness,
a,
no. They
you
try
don't,
to give
okay.
me two, but I don't sing.
You don't sing.
In the shower.
Okay. All right. So, but is singing something that you enjoy, even if you
I
don't
love,
feel very...
I love
okay.
listening to people sing, yeah.
Oh, but you
I have music
personally
all around
don't
me.
Feel... Okay.
I don't feel confident enough to do that, no.
Okay. That's interesting. Cause
speaking,
there's
I am a talker.
I know, but you know, it is a talking kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I really get that. All right. So I keep seeing it in two different forms, though. I see you actually, you know, writing down what this girl can write, inspiration,
mm-hmm.
prayers, things like that. And also, I keep getting that your speaking would be outside of where you are. It feels like
yeah.
you would be like at Unity Church or, you know, at like a women's center or
yeah.
In a cancer
I can
ward.
See it at a-
yeah.
Yes,
or, you know, at a hospital,
that.
Hospice, or, I mean, something where, you know, you are helping elevate the people that are going to be around those people that are needing inspiration.
Yes.
That kind of thing. Now, would you ever, and I say this, it feels like you could be a minister. You could marry people.
I've never really thought about that.
You'd be lovely. I could just see you doing it. You'd be wonderful. You really would.
You know, though, what's
you...
really funny that you should say that because
mm-hmm.
I have live on a little, it's not a very big piece of property, maybe 15 acres, and we've been always wanting to put a big pond. I mean, it just lays perfectly, and my husband, that's been his dream forever, has never had the money or the time come together. But I've told him, I said, wouldn't it be so neat to make it a little chapel out there? I said, I don't know what it would take and what that would be all about, but
mm-hmm.
it's so beautiful here, so peaceful and so beautiful. It would be so neat to have a little chapel and then create, because I kind of create experiences anyway with my store, because
mm-hmm.
I've got so many things going on in my store where
right.
people just have good times and make memories and all that good stuff, and tea parties and birthday parties and baby showers and bridal showers and
wow,
just anything
sure.
that creates a memory. And restores and heals, and people have conversations and meetings and all that. But they're trying to put a stop to it because they're trying to tell me I have to change my use of the building, and now
oh.
it means lots of money and all that good
mm-hmm.
stuff. And that's where I'm at. So it's kind of brought me to a halt. But it's kind of nice because it's like I have this little peaceful time, and
yeah.
I am thinking about what is it. And I have all these kids. It's like in our community, I created this amazing space for these children and young adults who have nothing because we're in a very Appalachian area, and there's nothing to do. So I made a little Wi-Fi internet cafe, and I've got this really cool room where I've got kids performing, and it's blending the generations, and they're coming and supporting. They all bring it, the state thing, and whoever's jealous has brought it to a halt. So I'm thinking, wow. Oh, my goodness. And all along, and all this time, I've 10 years put in, and it just keeps manifesting into mm-hmm. such good for people. And then it's like, bringing it to a halt. So I'm like, I don't know where this money is going to come from, but I have the peace and assurance that whatever mm-hmm. it's going to be is going to be. But mm-hmm. I also know that I'm going to be speaking. This is part of my journey, part of my inspiration for others, that you can't overcome it. You can't lose sight and focus. You've got to move forward. Don't let it get you down. There's something wonderful mm-hmm. around the corner. You just don't know what it is yet. And mm-hmm. and so I guess it's just part of my story. But there's so many people that can, you know, in our community, loves the store. They're like, mm-hmm. there's nothing like it around, you know. People come from Columbus and big cities where there's lots of things to do. And they come to my little humble place and they're like, we don't have anything like this. I'm like, yes, you have to. This isn't anything that outrageously, you know, different. But it's just like a little melting pot of a lot of different things where people get to express their creativity. It's just, there's just tons of love there. Mm-hmm. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen. But I so want to speak, you know, sometime in the future. Keep my business going, and I can step away. I get the right team together, and we mm-hmm. get this unstuck.
Right.
You know
this is true, because nothing is ever a mistake, or it's just an opportunity for a new way to see something. And so I really get that if it's just happening and you're appreciating the time to kind of say, okay, sir, what do you want me to do? And if it is to get you to become a minister or to create this chapel, then you're going to need the time to do it. And so mm-hmm. if you didn't have this lull and you didn't have that, and I say slight worry, because I don't think it's a problem. I think it's going to straighten out. But I get that if you didn't have it, it wouldn't create the second thought to say, well, how else would I make money and how else could I create more of a loving space and continue my work that I'm supposed to be doing personally?
Mm-hmm.
Because you are not, your store is you. But, you know, you do touch others. So let's say you could do funerals, you could do weddings, you could do anniversaries, things like that, that would enable you to use your alchemy to help, you know, in a sense, raise the vibration and the frequency of people.
Mm-hmm.
We need you. You know, it's not something that we're just messing around with here. We need people.
Mm-hmm.
So spirit is going to pull you out and shake it up a little, because they need you now. You know, and so I always think, I know why, and you know, I could tell you it doesn't feel very good because you're so, you know, we're so used to things sometimes. But when spirit
mm-hmm.
works, and you know, you're just kind of the puppet for them, and I
mm-hmm.
think, like, I had a choice, you know, to talk to that person, you know, like I had a choice,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right?
That, you know, I always think that's a funny thought, you know, that I have a choice, and so. Really, I think that's something, if you can just get to that place of saying, okay, all right, spirit, I hear you. And
mm-hmm.
so I'm gonna start to look into what it would take to even put a gazebo, something open-aired that's not too expensive, so that we could use, you know, what would be the least expensive place and how we could do it. And it doesn't have to be elaborate. It could be even a beautiful, you know, tent type of thing that you could create, you know, like a outdoor place to get married in. I mean, you are very creative. I feel like your creative
mm-hmm.
energies always are happening. Like you could make.
I can't stop.
Yeah. I feel
it
like you could make
stop.
A tent a beautiful place to live, you know. So that's your gift. You can create beautiful atmospheres out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So
if you
found the right perfect spot, and that's what I want you to do, go walk the land and have spirit tell you, this is where, this is it. This is where I want to be. You know, this tree, this area has the vibration of love and like a vortex type of thing. When
I
you're around it,
that.
You just know. Yeah. So I want you to do this. This is what Spirit is saying. Tomorrow, go for the walk. Get your pad out.
Yeah.
Let Spirit tell you what to do. Because I see within the next year, once you put your mind to it, that's one thing they're showing me. You are like, you know, they're snapping their fingers around you going, she'll get it done. She'll get it done. And so it's really not that it's an impossibility. It's actually just you focusing on this new thing and putting your energy towards it. And, you know, it almost feels like the center that you have that with the, for the children could move over, in a sense.
Or it can be in both places because of their talents and gifts.
Yeah.
They could come, you know, and be hired or done. I've thought about that and how I would like to help them, you know, some of them that are so diligent and show such leadership and such a draw because they have love in them too. And they just draw people to them. And they're so dedicated to, you know, to my business and to, I mean, I don't pay them anything. They just love to perform. And they needed a space to do it in. But to actually have, you know, ceremonies or larger events that they could be hired for. I mean, this is just a, you know, just kind of a little launching pad. To just help them
find
and
you know, it just feels, and I keep, it's so funny, I keep getting like, and this is a funny thought, I just had a vision of Dolly Parton's, like, place that she has, like,
Dollywood.
Now, here's a woman who doesn't have, you know, who just started to do things and had music, and then it became a place to go to, and now it's really... Mm-hmm. A big place that she created just because of who she was. And she's a loving, loving lady. And she's just so welcoming and country and all that. And so your energy, and I say that in a very loving way, is very much like Dolly Parton. You are just this lovely, lovely, loving energy that people love. You know, everybody loves Dolly. Nobody ever says everybody I know loves her. She's just lovely.
Yeah.
And she is so welcoming and supportive, and she is just so sincere. And so you have that energy. I feel it. And I get that because of that, the snowball effect that you are going to start is going to be way bigger than you think. Like in the next 1 year, 2 years, it keeps showing me, like, it keeps showing me development. You know, like, maybe this 15 acres will become something like that. Like a place, like a story town kind of thing, you know, where people can go.
We dream about that. Charlie is all about it, too, because he's really creative and very good at working, but he's getting older, and he just retired, and I'm a little bit younger than him, but we just want to create, we just want to enjoy, and we want to make people happy, but we like to enjoy it, we like to enjoy the process. I mean, we don't ask for much. I haven't paid myself for 10 years. I mean, you think I'm crazy, but I do what I like to do. That's payment enough. Even though I would like to have a little more freedom and travel a little bit with my speaking and see some things, but I don't need for much. My needs are taken care of. I don't really need for a lot. So I just want to try to make a difference in helping others, and that's wonderful blessings.
Yeah, and that is what you are doing and will be doing more of and continuously. That's what I keep getting. Spirit's just saying, we put her here, you know, we put her here kind of thing. And I get that one. You know, there are those that know right from they are alchemists. They have always changed the frequency everywhere they went, in schools and in work situations and in you know, in other people's, you know, they just have that ability, and that's your natural ability is to do this.
Right.
I get that one. So it doesn't really matter how, you know, it doesn't matter.
I do analyze that though.
Yeah.
I do analyze the how.
The how is, but the how will happen. As soon as
I know,
you
but
just
I
say,
still,
yeah, that's what I just know.
I
the
it.
How will always happen as soon as I say yes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that. I mean that so sincerely that I can't tell you. As soon as you
can
decide.
I share, Can I share one thing that I think others need to hear too? Mm-hmm. I have experienced, and this is going to sound really bizarre, and maybe many others have felt this too, but I've never, ever experienced it before. Spirit or my God or whatever you want to fill in the blank met me in my car and going to work. This is the second day after having the overwhelming feeling of every imaginable state person trying to tell me what I needed to do. And I've been, like I said, I've been doing this business for 10 years. I just happened to be in a really amazing location that I'm just now starting to buy the building. And it's nutty, wonderful, but at the same time, it was like, what? So I was a little overwhelmed. I wasn't upset or sad. I was just trying to wrap my head around everything and thinking, okay, where is this money going to come from? Because I know I'm obviously doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. But it was overwhelming. So as I was driving to work the second day after having this overwhelming feeling of what to do and how to cope, I was driving and I had this overwhelming love around me that was so overwhelming. I had to pull off the road. I could not see. I was shown things that I've never been shown before. Like, I mean, obviously everything was going to be okay. Still wondering the how, but I guess the how isn't for me to know. It's like you were just describing. It's the okay, I'm ready. Whatever you've got coming my way, we'll just do it. But I still always ask, oh, well, how's the how going to happen? But I had the most amazing love. I've always prayed about having just to experience and taste just a little bit of unconditional love. What would that be like? Because we always put conditions. I mean, I do it to my daughter. People do it to each other. We don't mean to, but we do. And I wanted to know what love. And boy, was I shown. Mm-hmm. And I know that can't be all of what love is, but it was more than I could handle. And it was super awesome. It's something that you almost can't put to words, mm-hmm. but I am here to tell you it's real. Mm-hmm. And you have to believe and trust. And that is one of the hardest things to do. But golly, love is powerful. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people on here are always asking about relationships, and you're always trying to shift their thoughts and get it kind of their focus in the right areas. But it is all about loving themselves first, mm-hmm. so that you know how to receive love, you know, mm-hmm. and the right love. You know what it is. And so
you're full of love.
I just have that.
Yeah.
It's so,
and you know,
so
that's
cool.
That's the reality here is that, you know, whatever, and that is something I think you have that experience, is when you are in the divine, unconditional space, the how is irrelevant. It's like, well, of course it's happened already. We're just going to take you to it, you know.
I just now got that, and I mean, just a couple days ago, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that surrender and just letting go mm-hmm. and is just one of the hardest things to do. But when you do it, wow, it's so amazing.
The wow, I know. And it's such a freedom.
It is so amazing.
It's a freedom. It's like jumping off into the abyss, but with such trust and knowing you're going to be caught. Without a doubt that I'm going to fly, you know. And so that's the difference between, you know, being afraid of something and not doing it. And if you're going to fall, you have all this limited energy around it. But when you are in that big self, the expansive feeling is so great that there is nothing that is going to get in your way or stop you or even at that level of importance. I always think, if right now, when you were in that car and you had that divine pullover, and I say it's a divine pullover because I've had those, where it's like,
that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, thank you for that. Yeah. And so, we really are always being given what we need if we listen. Mm-hmm. It's just that how that gets in the, it's like a big block. When as soon as you say how, you are now in the mind, immediately into the mind and out of the spirit.
Yeah.
The how
that's
is
so
a really, it really is, will put you into the details and into the I don't have the money and all that stuff.
Yeah.
If you stay away from the how, it will naturally work its way through, and just trust. And I mean that. And I say that when Spirit told me that I needed to have a radio show, I thought, "Are you serious? Oh, come on! You know, this is so not me. You know, I do healings. I do, you know, I've been doing. I was a teacher. All this stuff. I don't really know." And so. No, every night they kept saying, no, you need to expand. Your voice needs to be heard. We need to talk through you. We need that. So, and I'm like, okay, well, I don't even know how to do this. So I just said, well, how do I do it? And so a friend of mine said, who is a wonderful, enlightened being, he said, tell 10 people what you want to do. I said, really? He said, I want you to tell 10 people every day, new people, of what you have in mind. I said, okay, I will. I'm going to do that. So everywhere I went, if I was at the gym, the market, I ran into someone for lunch and they were sitting next to me, I would tell them what I was hoping to do. By the third day, and I mean this, the third day, somebody told somebody, that person called me and said, I heard you want to have a radio show.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I do. And and it turned around, and they were coming to me, calling me. And then I didn't have a website. Next person that called was a web person. I mean, it was just truly orchestrated.
One thing after another. It is orchestrated.
And
it's so
cool. I really was orchestrated. And so within that week, my website was up and the show was going. And that was 3 years. It's almost 4 years ago. So what I get is that I didn't know how. All I did is ask, I just told 10 people.
That's
and
cool.
In the energy that spread out, right? So I want you to do what I did. I think Spirit's telling me again.
Oh, I do it.
You're
going to
use
me.
10 people. I want 10 people in your store to tell them that I think I'd like to start marrying people. I've been seeing this land. I want
you
to
really
start.
You really think that, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Oh, my goodness.
I really see
you.
I think you are already a minister of love and spirit, and so it really supports you. Spirit supports you in that, and so it's not something that you'd have to learn how to do. You just would say that you're going to want to do it and have the place that you could marry people in. Really. So I want tomorrow.
Is it that big of a deal to get that, to do that?
No, it's so easy. You can get your minister license online. And it's like $10 or something.
Is
and
it
you're
legit?
It's a Unity Minister license, which means that you're a non-denominational minister. You aren't marrying through a church or anything. Yeah, non-denominational Unity Minister. Look it up, and you can buy a license, and that would give you a license to do it. And you may have to go to the courthouse and apply for a license so that you could sign their marriage license. That's all you have to do.
Oh,
it's not something that you, it's not something. And so the writing, Spirit's just showing me this, the writing for the beautiful ceremonies could be from this woman.
Yeah.
And what a wonderful
new angle.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. I love it. I can see you doing it. For sure.
That's so,
so
cool.
I like that.
Thank
I see
you.
It happening already. So I love it, and I see it, and that's
you.
It. And so be it.
Oh, thank you. This was wonderful fun.
Well,
and it's so inspiring.
You let me know.
Thank you.
You let me know how it's going, and I just can't wait to hear about it.
Awesome.
All right.
Thanks
have
so
a wonderful
much.
Day.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Oh, 857, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hi, you're talking to Linda.
Hi, Linda. How are you? Isn't this a wonderful night? It's just so great. I just the energy is just so beautiful. I have to say, it's just awesome. So, what can we work with you on? I don't even know. I think that Spirit is working through everybody here tonight, helping everyone online who's listening. So that's great.
I had a question regarding work. I'm currently temping at the moment. And it looks like the person that I, not support, but that I work underneath, she seems to be a little frustrated with me, and that's fine. My thing is, do you see me landing something more permanent?
Okay, the first thing that came up was teacher. Isn't that interesting? Like teaching something.
Okay.
That ever, okay, so I get that that's what they're maybe showing me as more of a permanent thing that you could do and will do. So it's more about being in a position of teaching or training. So I want you to look, and I say that, look for a position that has that essence to it, that you would be, you know, showing people how to do something. So that's teaching, you know. So it doesn't have to be teaching students, but it's teaching or showing a principle of some kind. So it feels like you'd be very good at that, and
okay.
that feels more permanent to me. So this position, this feels, and they're showing me this line, so I'm seeing this very long line. So it's showing me that you'll be there for a while, as you choose. So it's more about you kind of looking into different areas of interest that you would like to learn even. That's interesting. But I feel like you're touching people almost. Like I feel like I'm getting my head touched and stuff, like my hands touched. That's interesting. It feels like they're showing me something. So I don't know if you'd ever be interested in like some kind of service job, like service, like taking like care of people or something like that. But
I'm going into marketing.
Marketing. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
But that is you're showing people how to do well with what they have, in a sense, marketing, right? So like,
well, I'd be providing a service, and I would be.
Yeah.
It is service oriented. I'd be providing a service. The service I would be providing, though, is more of a branding
okay.
service and messaging. No caretaking.
No caretaking.
No.
My question is then that might just be around your energy system now, or that you had been caretaking, or someone is around you. It feels like. You know, I hate to say it's not like caretaking, like, an elderly person. I feel like it's almost like taking, like, nails or making somebody feel good that way, like through beautifying them in some way.
I did a nail course a couple years ago, but professionally, that's not where I'm headed.
Right. Okay. Well, that's all it's showing me. So it's showing me this, like, diversion, this diversional self that you did, and now you're into, okay. All right, good.
Anything that's more, like, holistic or more, like, taking care of people, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, beautifying, anything like that, that's something
yeah.
that I feel like I would do just because, like, that's
yeah.
just me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to do that professionally. I would just do that, like, you know, I'm in the house or somebody feels bad or something. Like, I want
yeah,
to
yeah.
that I'm making, hey, just
but you had learned
about cleaning up your face.
Right. But you had learned this, and you choose not to do that as a business or as something to do. But it's really just showing me that you've already stepped away from that, and you decided to do the marketing, and that's so the leveling of what you'd like to do. So management and teaching is kind of the next level that I feel around you.
Okay.
So that's something I want you to look into, that you could be a teacher of something, like of a system or of a procedure, you know, something that you would do very well at, you know. So I want you to look at, so it becomes more of really anchoring you permanently. So maybe, is there like a, so there is a temp service that got you this position?
Yeah, and I mean, I'm still doing my own independent search, so that's okay.
Okay, it's, all right, yeah, yeah. I like them better. I really don't. My temps, no. I think they're limited. You know, they're limited. So sometimes it's best for you to do a lot of your own exploring, you know, for a company that you like and seeing if they have any positions available. So I really get that, that it's coming. But I do see that you're going to stay where you are. I don't get that it's changing. But I do get that you will be the one to kind of direct yourself into the next level of employment. And I do feel management. Absolutely. You're good. You're good. You could definitely, you know, tell people how to learn something and get it through them well. You're a good communicator, you know. Those are your real strong points. So, and you're very strong in your position, which is a very management energy, you know. So I like it. Any other questions?
I guess my other question is just when does the money come?
The money. I do see that the manage. That's when you're gonna. That's when you're gonna start making more money. In management, sometimes you can get commissions, you know, on other people that are around you. So that would be helpful, and that's what I think is gonna make you start to look, in a sense, for the next position. Is to find something that's really going to give you a better, more sound, you know, financial situation. But the six keeps coming around you, so I keep getting a six. So when I see that, it could be 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months that these that you're going to be led into another avenue, probably this job. So keep looking and don't give up, because I do think that this is going to change that frequency for you financially. Absolutely.
And
it feels like an H around the business sound. Like it almost feels like a company with an H in it. Like I keep getting like an H sound around the company's name. So it could be a big company. You know, something. It just feels like that's where this next position's going to take you. But don't. I mean, I know your energy is open and looking, and because of that, you're not going to limit yourself, you know. And that's the difference between you just waiting and being, you know. But I feel like you're very proactive. You're getting it. You're looking. You're not going to settle, which is really what's going to, you know, in a sense, help. You're going to help spirit help you. You know, into the life, in a sense, that you choose, which is more money and a lot more of using who you are, you know, your personality, your communication skills, your organization, you know, all that. So I really get that spirit is hand in hand with you on this one. And it's going to really manifest. So don't worry. But the six comes around. So the six means, you know, it's going to take you that long to kind of orchestrate and go and get on the job interview thing and get it going and sound and secured. So don't worry about it. I do think, keep looking.
Yeah, I'm frustrated.
I know. And I'm sure it is. It is. But I do know, and I say this, that as long as you are open to it, and you are telling people that you know, let's say other people that you would love to get into a higher paying position, a management position, you know, whatever. I want you to do what we just did with that last wonderful lady and tell 10 people that you would like to, you know, get a better position. And just, you know, people that you know. And get the energy going around it, all right? And in a positive way. Or it's not like knocking what you're doing, but saying what you'd like. I see, you know, this is a big one. I see myself, you know, and I want you to see a check, how much you want to make, you know, and put it in your bank account, and I want you to see that. And then I want you to see the position of what would make you happy going to work every day, you know, because we are creating it all. We really are. And that's the truth. I mean, we create it. And then we say, boy, I didn't create good enough here, you know. But you can totally do it, absolutely. You know, I always think if somebody already did it, and this is something you have to know, somebody already has that company, there is an energy that they know how to do, right? They know how to be the boss. They know how to own a company. They know how to manage people. There is an energy that they know or they learned how to do. See, they didn't, you know, and they proceeded on the course and they got there. And so just like they did, I know that we can. And I don't mean that. So the people that have come before us energetically are kind of two points in the matrix. We can see them and we can see how they did it. They did it. Okay, so they did it. I can do it. So I want you to pick a person that you admire, a woman, who's made it in your eyes or financially has made it. And I want you to research her and find out about who she was and look at her and see yourself, hey, she's my age. See common ground in who and what you see. Because the more we see common ground into something we want, the more it's attainable. It's only when we see it as an opposite thing, that we'll never do that, oh, they're educated, they're this or that, then we are separating with our comments. So how could we ever be that, you know? So I want you to find common ground, and that's how you get closer, I believe, to what it is that you need to do and how you orchestrate the energy to take you where you have to go. Yeah?
Okay. So all right. What you're saying, though, and I know that you probably need to go, but what you're saying is that I'm not being let go from this other position. I'm the one transitioning from the position that I'm in to my next role.
Right. Excellent. And that's exactly what I see. I don't see them letting you go. I see you deciding and wanting a better position. Yeah, absolutely. And so my feeling is, It's not up to them. We don't want to give over our power to anything. Yeah,
right.
No. So we keep it, and we know we're doing a good job, and you are. And the thing is, but is this, and that's the question, is this not giving you the money you want? This is not really the position that you would like to do forever,
mm-hmm.
right?
Instinctively, mm-hmm. I feel like I am just here to learn.
Yes, right.
Honestly, when I got there, I'm like, you know what? I'm just here to learn. This isn't my end all to be all. This is
right.
A pit stop before I get to where I'm going, but I'm here
yeah.
to learn. And that's how I feel, and that's how I'm treating it.
Yeah. And so there you go. So you will complete that learning cycle, right? Just like finishing school, there'll come a time where you've gone up to the grade level that position can offer you, and the next level would be, I'm ready to take on, I could do this particular job. I know I could. And this has got the more management, the more creativity, the more you invested in it, and more money. And so that's what I get. I see that around you. I see it strong. I don't see it wavering because I know. And it's like you're powerful. You're way more powerful than you think. You are a creator. And so if we can get a hold of that and know that you're creating it, just by you saying, I knew that I was going to be learning, you already took it because you wanted to excel at something different than you were already doing before, right? So you have already progressed. And so I don't see any stopping you. I really don't. I really think the only thing that will stop you is you. And that's that feeling of saying, I can't, or the whole thing. That one will stop everybody, is that, oh, I don't think I can, I'm too old, I'm too this. If you don't have that in your even consciousness, you can do anything. I mean, it's true. I watch, you know, I just love the shows, the think tank shows where people have, you know, inventions, right? And they go and they went from a thought to creating it, to going on these shows, to actually somebody buying it from them, you know? And they didn't let people stop them along the way. And that's how people make the money. They don't let anything stop them. They don't let somebody's negative belief system, you know, say they can't do it. They just say, I can do it. I'll figure it out, you know? And ultimately, that's what we all have to do, is to be true to ourselves, to always be true and say, I know I can. And I don't care what anything, anybody, even the money doesn't have to be there. It just has to be that I can figure it out and spirit will show me. And as open as you can be is as open, I think, as life will show you. And so it's happening. So I want you to know that. And I want you to know that you are right. This is a teaching position, and
that's
the next six,
payment.
Yeah, so six comes up, and that's not too far away. So within the next six weeks, 6 months, 6 days, it feels like transition is going to start to happen, which means a higher paying position, more a permanent position.
Let's pray for the 6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I will. I'll see 6 days. We could see 6 minutes. We could just six comes really strong around you. So I like that it's showing me a short amount of time. It's not giving me
6 days.
Yeah. And right, it could be the date. So six, we're gonna just pay attention to the six. It could be the 6 months of the year, it could be the 6 day, it could be 6 weeks. So we're gonna just pay attention to it being a six. And so I know sometimes the spirit will show me that, and I'm thinking, okay, and then sure enough, I'll get somebody's validation and say, oh yeah, you know, I got that. Yeah, it did happen.
Do you remember earlier in the reading when you mentioned something about me teaching? Could it possibly mean that this role is actually a teaching role, and it's not necessarily me supposed
you
to be
teaching?
Saying,
well, see, I look at teaching as something that you get so good at, right? So let's say you took this position, right, and you learned how to do marketing and do this well. Well, now you become the expert of what you've learned, and now you will teach others. So it is that feeling of accomplishment when I see a teacher energy. Around someone. So sometimes it just means that they have completed and they are in the master position. Okay? So, because like a master position means that you have enough experience under your belt so that you could show someone else how to do it. So that's a teacher, right? Teachers will be able to show you because they know it, right? So I really get that we have to kind of expand what teacher means in our life, and that we're all kind of doing that. We're all teaching. Once we spiritually get something, we can teach someone else on how to get through it, you know. So I get that this is around you. Yes, absolutely. And so I like that feeling. It feels like you're mastering something. And in taking this position, you're mastering something that's going to give you, in a sense, the information so that you could turn around and show someone else how to do it. Yeah.
Got it.
All right, love. Well, let me know how it goes. I can't
thank
wait.
Thank you so much.
All right, love. Have a good night. Okay.
You too.
Bye-bye. All right, 516. Hi, you're on Heart and Soul. Who am I talking to?
Hi, my name is Sandra. Thank you for taking my call. I'm very grateful to get in.
Hi, Sandra. How are
I'm
you
I'm hoping
tonight?
You can help me.
Okay.
So how do I begin? You know, I may be giving this too much power, but I feel like I had this very karmic relationship that ended, and I've done a ton of forgiveness work around it, and I feel like, you know, I've moved past him and what happened, but I'm still, like, kind of, I guess, not forgiving myself or not in a place of loving myself. I had a lot of physical changes and just a ton of, like, changes that corresponded after, you know, this relationship ended, and just things in my life kind of changed. Some things for the negative, some things for, you know, much more positive. And I just don't know how to kind of stop some of the spinning.
Right. That's
in funny. A sense. Yeah, like sometimes I feel like my life has changed in so many different ways that I don't know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of pick up the pieces. And then I do see some, like, I guess some really, like, not positive physical aspects that kind of changed with me that might be, like, that are definitely of my own doing, kind of towards myself. So I see that I'm kind of stuck in that rut, and I just don't know how to switch out of it.
Right, right. So... okay, so...
does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
I hope I explained it.
I was picking up, like, I kept seeing different things, so I'm going to say what I said. So I see change. I see hormonal change. Okay, that first came up. That means chemical change. So that showed up in a big picture around you. So that alone will really knock your energy systems over the flu, and it will cause a lot of physical changes that you just feel like you're not yourself. And that's what I kept getting, this overlay of like chemical change, which always reminds me and brings me to hormonal changes. So,
which is so funny, because when I go to them and get tested for any type of hormonal changes, they're like, mm-hmm. there's nothing there. So I really think like some of this got kind of spurred off from quitting smoking, because as soon as I quit, mm-hmm. my whole body just completely changed from what I was.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know how, like I literally went through a physical change.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well,
like
glad,
a physiological change from
oh,
from
you
this,
did, you did,
yeah.
you did. And you actually, you think about like addicts, okay, I'm going to, just because you were a chemical addict.
Yeah.
Like an alcoholic, okay, so what I've noticed with alcoholics, they will stop drinking, but they become sugar addicts. And they just eat cake all the time, and they drink coffee all the time.
Right.
So they're still getting the stimulant that they would have from the alcohol, but they're getting it through sugar and caffeine.
Okay.
And so they are still moving into an addiction, but because their body is still used to holding or grasping for something else, in a sense, to
mm-hmm.
give them that energy, that surge. Okay. So.
Yeah.
What we need to do is we need to find, do you have a homeopathic, somebody like that could work with you a little
yeah,
bit?
Yeah, I was working with someone like that,
okay.
but it wasn't, you know, I have to be very honest, I went to two
yeah.
different practitioners and it yeah. really didn't, you know, help. I have to be really honest, it didn't
help in
no,
stopping the smoking?
No,
or didn't
nothing
help
that
maybe?
They kind of worked on
okay.
with me for a good year really assisted me in any which way. So I kind of
so
left
the
that
nicotine. So what you have to look at what nicotine did for your system, and how it must have created an environment that gave your. Usually it's a stimulant, and nicotine is a stimulant. So that's
right.
why people, you know, everything slows down. They gain weight. They can't sleep. They, you know, go through sweats. I actually, when I work on people that smoke, if I, like,
yeah,
let's
that
say,
kind of describes it.
Yeah. Okay.
That describes it all.
All of that.
Yeah.
So we have to then look at what can we use for your body that could attach itself to that cell that was addicted to the nicotine, but in now we can give it to something that actually would help process and speed up your metabolism, in a sense, back up again, but without causing that heavy addiction in a negative
right.
way. So, all right. So we're going to see. All right. So there are natural stimulants that are like for balance that are really very powerful. There's a new one out, this one that Dr. Oz, and that's funny that he just showed up. He just recommended this one for women that helps them lose weight, belly fat. It's that Garcia.
Right.
Yeah. Now, that one I have researched, and that one has worked for people. I have, like, 5 people here in town that are doing it, and noticeably it has given them energy and has created a weight loss. But
oh.
naturally, very slowly, and very naturally.
Are we talking about the belly fat diet?
No. It's an herb that you buy.
Okay.
I wrote it down, and I am
oh, I getting, think I is this the
it's a Garcia. That's the name, the first name, Garcia something.
Okay.
And if you go to Dr. Oz, you'll see that. Now I do know people that have used it and had great success on it. I have friends that are very thin, but used it because they needed the energy. And it helps process like fat in the liver. It's actually good for you. It's a Chinese herb, or it's from a melon or something that they use, but mostly Chinese medicine uses it. And that's where he found it out. But it really has a scientific background. So I think that's what it's showing me. Spirit is really just saying, let's get your body back on track and kind of keep the detoxing going, but also stimulate your metabolism again. Get you motivated, you know,
well,
get you going. Yeah. And so if your hormones, if you know that they're set and they're okay.
Well, honestly, I was thinking it could be hormonal too, because that's what I was feeling. I felt, you know, sluggish, you know, when I I went through every testing imaginable and even like went further, you know. Tested the thyroid even further, you know, tested this even further. Like everything came back clean. And this has been for years I've been doing this because I'm like, I feel off. Like, could I possibly be going through, you know, hormonal changes? It is kind of that time in my life. But then when I speak to the doctors, you know, everything comes back normal. They're like, you have tons of eggs. You're not anywhere close to that, you know. And but I explain the symptoms that I'm having, and they're like, no, it's from quitting smoking. You know, like your body goes through like a severe change. And I'm like, wow, this is so weird. I mean, I gained like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
It's not
and
like
so there you go. There
anymore.
Goes your metabolism, right?
So yeah, like
know,
my
I'm
metabolism.
Like, okay, that's how the nicotine was stimulating the metabolism. It was so
Was
so profound in it, you know, in doing that. So, but there, that's what I keep getting. Would you do me a favor?
Is
email
this the berry
me.
One?
No, this is not. And I
not
will
the,
get it. I'll get you this information.
Okay.
But I keep getting that. I know, and I've seen results from it already.
Okay,
and I know that the biggest thing is that it shrinks your whole body. It takes, and you can even look at Dr. Oz saying the research on it.
Yeah, I'm looking at it already. I'm definitely going to find it. But you said it
Garcia,
was Garcia.
Garcia is the first name. Garcia something else, like Casa something. If you email me pattyrio@AOL, I will email you the name of it. I have it. It's down, written down. Because I do herbs in my practice.
PATTIREO@AOL.com.
Yes.
Okay.
And email me a little note, and I'll know it's you, and I'll email you the name of it. And I get that if you start to give your system a stimulant, but a good one, not one like caffeine and all that.
Right.
That's,
yeah, no, I don't even
that,
do caffeine.
That can help process and also purify and clean your liver a little, because if you think about it, that's really what happens is the toxins start to build up, and then we get bigger and bigger and bloated. But it's that feeling that most people have as they move
Into
older.
And then, you know, that just creates this negative, like it's created this negative perception on how I feel, and how I feel about myself. I mean, I used to be a size 8, now I'm a size 22, so there's quite a difference there. And I just, you know, I look back and I think to myself, is this all due to the relationship? You know, I mean, I thought I was doing pretty
good.
Well,
you know,
but
it is in some way, energetically, it's because we've taken on. And you think about what relationships do. You know, they can help us feel good about ourselves, or we can take on every single situation and blame ourselves for it. So we can turn this relationship against us at an energetic level. So if you were my client, I would be pulling this guy out of your, you know, energy system. I would be pulling all his entities that he had attached to you, and we would be working at cleaning up your energy field. And then lightening you up in that area first, because if you feel heavy, and I say
don't,
that,
though, you know, I honestly don't feel heavy, like, with his energy at all. I've done so many, like, cleansings around it. So many times have I asked Archangel Michael to come down, cut any cords. Like, I literally meditate every day. I work on my chakras every day. Like, I really take the time to work it. And I don't feel anything about him any longer.
Okay.
You know, I'm grateful for the lesson that I learned. He helped me to realize that I needed to value myself so much further, but I'm just not at the point where I'm valuing myself, because I gained so much weight that I'm like, ugh, you know, it's like it's hard for me to have that love again. And I know that's what I have to do, because we all have to accept and love ourselves, or else we're not going to be able to move forward positively. And that's what kind of scares me, is that I want to have a positive relationship with not only myself, but with other people too. I want to have a relationship and a family. Like, I want those things. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can't do that until I'm healed.
Right. So what did he, and I say, what did he, what kind of wound, and I say this because this is just up to your heart,
yeah,
did he initially do for your self-esteem? Like, what?
Ah, jeez. I was so in love with him, and I really thought that this was someone I was going to move forward with in my life,
uh-huh,
that he left me broken. He left me broken. I felt this tremendous hole, and just, it was really difficult to like, it was the first time that I really felt like it was difficult for me to bounce back. I had never encountered that. And I mean, I was engaged to someone and I loved that person very much. And, you know, so this was just like, I don't know, it was some kind of really karmic type of relationship that I've never experienced in my life. And,
mm-hmm,
and it really left me busted, you know? Wow. It really did. I looked at it, and it was amazing. You know, mm-hmm, it took a lot away from me, but it also, when I look back now, this is 3 years ago, I'm like, wow, I learned so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like, obviously, mm-hmm, that was there for that reason. I had, mm-hmm, to learn these things. But I just kind of wish things didn't have to get so out of control. You know, like things didn't have to change so dramatically, but I guess that's my path, right? I can't, you know, I can't really change that.
And you know, when you go through, and I say this, such a disruptive, emotional, and like you said, broken, you know, that's a real descriptive, putting the pieces back together again,
yeah,
you know, like, energy. And you know, I can only relate that to when I lost my husband. He died, and so I think that there were those deep, heartbreaking moments. But I remember in it feeling like it broke me open.
Yeah.
And that I became much bigger, and it didn't. It just happened when I finally got how broken open I was.
Yeah,
I wasn't broken in pieces anymore. I was completely broken open. And I get that your spirit is going to get to that place where it's not in pieces. It's just going to, you know, and that's when the light will come. The new life that you'd like to create will start. The self-love will open to it. It just has to get to that place, and I have to say this, where you are taking the pieces and you're, you know, really moving them away and building, you know, it's like little bricks of energy that you just have to keep looking at and saying, oh, that's there, I'm going to put it up. Because as much as we work, if we're not seeing any reaction or any change, then I always think I'm not on it yet. I'm not on it. You know, I haven't done the work, you know, that really opens it to that place, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'll keep doing it. I'll just keep working. And then sometimes I'll just let it go. And I just let it go and I give it all to God and I just go, okay. And then those are the times, and I get, those are the times where the most happens, because I'm not self-loathing myself and I'm not saying I should have, I know more, I'm more spiritual than this. And no, I'm not judging. I'm just accepting the what is. And to me, I get it. You know, I feel your pain. I've been there. It sucks. I know. And it takes, and believe me, it takes as long as it takes. There's no snap in the fingers. There's no hope in that, you know, this day. It's, you just got to go through it.
Yeah,
and
I know.
If you're 100 pounds is what you had to put as like a safety net over you, in a sense, to protect you from losing it completely or dying or whatever, or, you know, whatever we do, or the smoking. It's the other addiction, and that's what I say. It's when you smoke, you're putting something in your mouth. And the same thing happens if we overeating. We're still
right.
Trying to fill up some part of us that's not full.
Well,
right?
Let
so
me
that's
tell
what
you.
We have to look at.
Yeah, that definitely seemed to happen for me. And, I mean, I broke up with him, like, let's just say it was the beginning of the year. It was March. And I quit smoking by September. So, I mean, I thought I was really doing something good for myself. And, you know, I had the not only the courage, but I quit on a dime. Like, you know, I just turned it around and said, okay, I'm done. You know, and I had smoked for like 20 plus years. I was a heavy smoker. My friends were astonished. I mean, literally, they were like, what? You just quit like that? You know, people that, you know, knew me and knew how I smoke were mesmerized with how I just quit smoking.
Wow.
And it really didn't seem to like take an effect for a couple of months afterwards that I started to notice all these strange changes. Like I started to crave sugar when I had never craved sugar in my life, you know, and I had that sense of wanting to fill up. And, you know, I think the emotional end of it, too, was working on me from the relationship where I definitely, like where he left off, I then took over against myself.
I mean, absolutely. The self-sabotage, you know, continues, right? Like, well, it must be true. I'm not worth loving, so I'm not going to love myself. It must be true, you know. And so with that self-loathing, you start to fill up with food or alcohol or, you know, you didn't do those two things, but you eat the food. See, food is an interesting thing. It soothes you. You know, it's what your mom gave you when you were upset, that cookie. Or, you know, who knows what where it comes into. Like Italian families, the have some food, you'll feel better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's always around you all the time that that's what will help you feel better. So if you're not feeling good, food is a very easy, quick fix. And for a moment, you, in a sense, go numb. So you know what I'll do?
I did.
And this is something.
I really did. What kind of healing do you do anyway, Patty? Because maybe
That is what I do. I do energy healing work. I do matrix energetics, and I do past life regression and all that. That's what I've been doing for 30 years. And so, and I do readings, of course, but and my practice, that's what I do. So I rebalance, you know, we do past life. We find out. I do entity removals. We've been doing so many different things. So I think over 30 years I've been doing so many things. I don't know what I do.
We'll see
when we get, what comes up. But, you know, there's a wonderful book, and I'm going to say this because I've been actually in this group, and it's just a spiritual group, and it's called A Course in Weight Loss, and it's Marianne Williamson's.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a 21 courses, I guess, that she has you work. It's like you work this book. So we went for 21 weeks, and once a week we did it, each chapter. And and what you get to see is that weight, weight is just an expression.
It has nothing to do with weight.
Right, it has nothing. And we were saying, you know, it really was what we were feeding ourselves and the negative speak and all the negative energies. And she really is, to me, the most gifted writer. And you just read a paragraph and you just, wow, you know, just brings you to your knees on how beautiful and how well written and right to the point she gets to. So if you can, just you could get a book and start that process because it is earth-shaking, that book. And a lot of the women in the group.
I've heard of it.
A lot of the women in the group lost lots of weight.
Right.
And the reality for me is I threw my scale away because it was what was bothering me. You know, it was my barometer of success. And once I finished that book, I realized I don't need that. And I ended up losing weight. And I got rid of the things that I used to keep me feeling like I was not good enough. If you know that feeling, you know, I'm not thin enough. I'm never going to reach that 8 again. You know, those feelings are in most women in today's society because everybody's, you know,
showing
up.
And it's so funny because I never felt that way before. You know what I mean? I exercised, but I ate and, you know, I did what I had to. And I never really, like, worked the scale. It was more about how I felt and how my clothing fit me, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, I wasn't looking to be the size I was when I was in high school. But 8 was comfortable for my body, you know. It didn't seem like I had to starve myself. I loved the exercise I was doing anyway, you know. So it all was at perfect balance. And it really, that quitting that smoking, when people ask me about it, I think today I'm like, I would never quit today if I knew like how far.
Yeah, but you know,
your
lung, you know, this is, you were, and I say this, spirit was leading you to a higher level of health by quitting. Because,
yeah,
you know, that will kill you way sooner, in a sense. You can lose 100 pounds, and I know you will, but it's, the smoking will really damage tissue and really hurt your heart and really hurt your vascular system. So to me, I get that that was much more important, to love yourself enough to quit smoking, because to me that's a real sign to say, I love my lungs. I love myself. You know, I want to live. I don't want to die. I don't want to be addicted.
The reason I had quit was, strangely enough, most people knew me. I exercised about 6 to 7 days a week, literally. I would run the boardwalk, you know, and I couldn't get any cardiovascular strength going because I smoked. You know, and it was a choice. Well, if I'm going to build my cardiovascular strength to be able to run, because I wanted to be able to run at that point. Running is a great exercise, helps you keep lean. And, you know, you can do it 3 times a week and really knock off any type of food that you may want to eat. So, like, I was like, this is perfect. I'll start to run, you know, but I couldn't do it while I smoked. And my trainer kept saying to me, you're never going to get better. You know, you have to give up those cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
And that, it just was like time.
But
you know,
what
I was
an
like,
accomplishment.
Okay.
This is something you have to really honor, that you have the strength to do that. I mean,
it's so hard to honor it when it's like, on the other hand, I went from being completely fit to completely unfit.
But your insides are fit.
Maybe, I don't know.
You know, that sometimes, like, you know, like, oh, you have to look at what's really, your insides are happy and your heart is so happy, your lungs are going, thank you, and you're,
maybe.
And you know, people that are around you that don't smell the smoke anymore, and if you
have,
you know,
I'm sure the people that are around me are probably grateful,
I mean,
but I have.
So the reality is really there. It's just that the weight is stopping you from saying, I really did something good for myself, because you're saying, oh, but the sugar is the addiction. The sugar is the addiction for pretty much everyone on the planet, really, and that is probably the hardest one to ever really kick. I mean, really, it is.
I don't even feel like I'm addicted to sugar, really. I just felt like I never really craved. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I
yeah.
still feel like today, like I can pretty much kick anything as long as I put my mind to it. You know what I mean? I know that I have that in me, but
I want you to do something for me. I don't want you to put your mind to it. I want you to put your heart to it.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to put your heart in it.
Okay.
And not go to the mind anymore. And go to the heart and really get to loving.
Get in there.
And love, like, you know, and love yourself. And this is the thing. I really, this is my new diet. And this is after I did the book. I say to myself, would God give me that to eat? Would that would be on his table for me to eat if I was with him? And so I really got that, oh, yeah. You know, if I was sitting with God, I would not be giving him ice cream. I would not be giving him cookies. I would be giving him, you know, color and beauty and what he made for me, you know, that's natural and healthy. And it changed my frequency every time now. Like, I just don't, you know, it's true. I really just don't go for it. You know, I just don't buy it anymore. I go to the market and I ask myself that question, what would God want me to eat? And I know that that's a big one for, that was what I got from the book. And it really has, it has turned my relationship with food to the place where I am in one with who made it and what it was intended to do for me. And that's to heal me, right? It's supposed to heal me. It's not supposed to make me sick.
No.
It's not supposed to give me diabetes. It's not supposed to, you know. But if I don't have a relationship with the source of who created it, then I forget. And then I go on, you know, then I go to the man-made stuff, which is all packaged, and I forget that God didn't make that.
Chemicalized, yeah.
God didn't make that. He did not put that on this planet. Man did, and it's killing us. Yeah. And so I'll bring my attention way back. I'll bring it to source again, and I'll just say, you know, God, what do you want me to eat today? And I always, if I just do that, just for the second, I'll go for a grape or I'll get a banana, you know, or, you know, I enjoy it. And I think, oh, my goodness. And I have a beautiful garden that I've been resurrecting too. So it's like I finally am on the same page of what God would want. You know,
yeah.
And it took me, you know, what, 8 weeks, we did, you know, 21 chapters to finally get that's what all I needed to take away from this whole experience is to remind myself every single meal, what would God be feeding me? You know, and it's a constant question because I'm answering it every time I put something in my mouth, you know, and it's simple. It's not a diet.
It is simple. And it's funny because I think I used to hear her speak about that on the on her show when she was with Hay House. I'm not sure if she's still with Hay House because I haven't heard her on there in some time. But I do recall her speaking about that.
Well, I just love this book, and I know that she's speaking to the spirits of everyone that's ever had that self-loathing talk going on, that
yeah.
they're not good enough or trying to fill up that hole in a sense that spirit wants to be in, you know.
So
but and I get
amazing.
That. Yeah.
It really is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly amazing that, you know, we do that to ourselves, that, you know, a relationship could end. It could be brutal or bitter or hard for us, and then we'll
mm-hmm.
just take over and continue to abuse ourselves.
Yeah.
And it took
yeah.
me a while to figure it out.
Well, exactly. It just takes your heart to feel it out. It takes your heart
yeah.
to finally say, I love you. And I'm on your side, and there's and let's get back on. Let's do this together. You know, let's me and you, in a sense, you and your higher self, you and God, you and what it is that you know you can accomplish. But it's in your heart that you can accomplish it. It's not in your head. Because every time I went ever to my head, I never did it. I went to Weight Watchers. That's in my head. I went to, you know, I did all the. Anyway, as soon as I went to my head, I didn't get to the cause of what. Was keeping me, in a sense, not getting to what I wanted to be or loving myself first, right? And so as a medium, as a healer, I realized that I was taking on a lot of stuff for people. I really was.
Yeah.
And so I had to learn how to let them go and give it to God and really do it until I felt them leave my energy field and not be so wide open and really have boundaries that were set that were safe for me. So
yeah.
I really get that as healers, as mediums, as intuitives, as even women, we're very sensitive beings. We have to set our boundaries so that we
yeah.
protect ourselves
Absolutely.
From whatever is out there that could come into our field. But we have to protect ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah.
So if we have this negative talk that's constantly knocking us down, like it's true. If you gain 10 pounds and you can't lose it, then you get disgusted and you gain 20 pounds. And then you really get disgusted and you figure, I don't know what's going to. And then, you know, it just kind of snowballs. And
mm-hmm.
so I get that. It's that feeling of feeling out of control.
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
And
feeling out of control in a way that, like, I didn't even feel like I was doing it to myself. I literally thought something has to be off. All these symptoms. I mean, I was literally gaining, like, 10 pounds a month. And I'm like,
well,
this
and,
is
you
like,
know, don't give up on their self. There still could be something wrong, you know, that you're allergic to. You could be wheat intolerant. You could
right,
be gluten
tested,
intolerant.
Tested,
yeah.
Tested.
I mean, yeah, I did all that, too, because I'm thinking, okay,
you know.
I've been, you know, working out. I've been, and how come, and then I got my thyroid, and I was right on the line, and they said you should, and you
yeah.
should go on. And then I got my thyroid, my hormones tested again, and they were kind of good, but not great, you know. And so all of it was not like answering any questions.
Yeah, no,
so
believe me, I would have been more than happy to like find out something, you know. But I went to 3 different doctors. I've gone to 2 different naturopathics. I've worked with both of them for over a year each. You know, I learned a lot of great things about nutrition. I went to 3 different nutritionalists. You know, I cared for myself, you know,
right,
in that
right.
sense. But internally, I wasn't really caring for myself.
Yeah.
You know, internally I was in this battle with myself, and I figured it out, you know. And I'm just still, like, at the point where I'm like, okay, what's going to make the difference for me? Like, here I am now, 100 pounds later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had to humble myself in the sense of that so many people have said such destructive things to me about the weight gain.
Right.
You know, like, oh, you used to be so beautiful. What happened? You know, like,
I know.
People are like crazy.
And then that becomes another brick of, like, self-destructive.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought to myself, my God, I would never even, like, point out somebody's anything.
Yeah.
You know, granted, I know, and some people enjoyed it because they, you know, felt I was beautiful and they see me fall off, you know, whatever perch they probably thought I was on, which I didn't treat people that way, but they seem to certainly enjoy it, and, you know, it was very hurtful.
Yeah, that is what we were up against, because we're sensitives and because we feel, you know, their disapproval of us so deeply, you know, and then that disgusts us even more about it, you know, about how come we can't get this to, you know, and then that feeling is just another weight in the sense that creates more of that self-loathing, that creates more weight, right? So it's really energy. It's all energy. It's all energy. And because I always think, you know, I probably, and everyone I know, if you calculated what you ate, it never would add up to how much we weigh or how much over, you know, let's say when I was 30 pounds overweight, it never added up and how much I worked out. It just never added up. So it had to be. Had to be spiritual and in the way emotional for everyone, that's I believe. And so if you started to, like, and that's what she kind of works with, is these bricks, she calls them. And each brick is an emotion that we stuffed. And she'd have you take each brick out and look at it and write about it.
Yeah,
so it's like, you know, and these
going to be a very powerful journey for me.
The first chapter, I don't think anybody in the whole group could get through it and really stay in without, you know, dry eyes. We were just like, we really got how we were holding on to this self-loathing. And these bricks were in there, and they were given to us through other people, some of them, and some of them we believed, and all of it. And so as we started lightening up, boy, everybody felt better.
It's such a weird way how, like, our paths and our journeys kind of go, because it's like, I know that that relationship was karmic, and I know that there was so much that, like, happened out of it, and I know that it was, like, a past life for me, because someone did a past life reading for me, and when she described the situation, I felt it in my heart chakra. Like someone had just driven, like, a sword through me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I literally felt the betrayal of what had happened between us, like, years before when she spoke about it. It was so powerful that I was like, oh, my God. Like, I understood exactly what she meant, and I understood exactly why this was happening, and I was like, oh, like, I could feel it.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this
mm-hmm.
day, I talk about it, and I have chills about it. So I know that, like, that was past, and I even followed that instructions of, like, letting go of that karmic, like, that has no effect in my life now, and, you know, like, really, but it just, that triggered so many different things.
Right. And, you know, I have to say this, and I mean this sincerely, that letting go is a process. It's not something you just do once and then you do it. It's an every minute sometimes process, you know, of letting the and I say that stopping. Like if you have dialogue that's negative, it really has to happen that moment. And say, I hear you saying that about yourself. Now put that's not true. And you have to, I call it delete, that you cancel, you delete while you're thinking of it.
Oh, yeah.
While you're saying, okay, I'm never going to lose that 10 pounds. Might as well just have that, you know, what's the difference kind of thing. Oh, the hell with it, you know. I'll just watch more TV and whatever. It's not even that we're saying anything. It's just that we're not doing anything, you know.
Oh, I remember literally saying, like, really negative things to myself. And this was when I was thin.
And she actually put me on to say, I hear what you say, and you're like God's creature, and how can you speak to yourself that way? And I want you to change that. And really when she brought it to light, she says, you have a laundry list of things about yourself. And I started to think about it. She brought me to tears, this woman. I mean, literal tears. Mm-hmm. Another Hay House, you know, author and who did this reading for me. And I just was so, like, I was so grateful that she had given me that opportunity. And I really did stop talking to myself that way. And I started to do, like, a lot of, you know, mirror work and, you know, saying in my eyes that I loved me and, you know, all this stuff. But I still, like, I guess I'm still in the process.
It's an ongoing thing. I really get that love happens every day. It's not like you do it and it's just done, you know.
Yeah,
and
I wish
I realized that, you know, that Marianne has been doing this process, and she's a very thin woman. But she does it every day. She, you know, talks to herself about, you know, what she needs to do and how she can love herself better today, and, you know, and gently, not harshly, and not demanding her to be a certain way, but to love herself with better choices. And I think about that, and I think, okay, that's a way different approach than most women attack themselves, you know. Like, I got to do it. I'm going to go on this diet, and I'm going to, you know. And they're attacking themselves. And anyone, if you think about it, if your friend attacked you that way, you wouldn't have that friend around.
No, of course not.
Right.
You wouldn't even want that person around you. You'd
you wouldn't.
My God.
So, right. So we are, and I say we, because I think it's a universal thing, we are creating the atmosphere that we don't like for ourselves by what we're thinking and feeling, mostly feeling, and the hidden stuff that gets hidden, you know, through just stuffing every little emotion that someone said. You know, if you bring it out and you say, this really hurt when this person, and you bring it out and you get it out, at least you're acknowledging it. You're not stuffing it. So every time a person said something, looked at you a certain way, commented, whatever, you stuffed it. And so that's another brick.
Oh, boy, did I
ever. Those are the bricks. Those are the things we need to every day get out of here, leave. I'm out. You know, every day you wake up, you put your feet on the ground, you say, okay, me and God, not even going to, you know, are going to do this today. And we're going to do it lovingly, and we're going to support my highest good, which is, of course, love. And so it really has to happen from the moment you get up until the moment you go to sleep. And I mean that. I have to say that it has reminded me to be very present with what and how I feel about myself, and not be so hard on myself, and to be more loving, and to say, you know, it's good if you did 15 minutes of today. That's good. That's what you had energy for. You could do 20 tomorrow. You could do an hour. And so I'm not beating myself up. And in that, I'm lightening up. Do you get it? You know, the approach is light. It's not this, I can do it, I can run. And I used to be at the gym all the time, and now I just go and I'll stay 15, 20, 30 minutes maybe, you know, and I ask my, you know, what do you need to do today? And my body will say, okay, do this, and then go walk the dog, and then meditate, you know, and I'm cool with it. Or, you know, it's more gentle. And I get that the gentler we are is a very appreciated place where we need to keep giving ourselves that gentle, soft, loving approach that you would listen to if someone loving talked to you, you know. But if someone said, you know, you need to lose weight, that would shut me down right off the bat, wouldn't it, to you? If somebody was demanding me to lose that much weight, because, you know, that would not work. That doesn't work for anybody.
No, it doesn't.
You know, it's like there's a spin class I used to love to go to, and they have a new instructor, and he's a militant. He's a militant instructor. He yells at you the whole time. You know, and so I walked out of there. I said, I can't stand being yelled at, and I'm not going back. I don't care. So, and then I went to another one, and she's just like a hippy-dippy girl. I love her. So I'm like, okay, I could totally go to that. So I am honoring, and I say that to you, honor your energy and how you would like to be talked to. Yeah. Honor the energy of it instead of all of the hype, you know. So my feeling is, like, if you're going to take this new pill, honor it to the point where you say, I give you this body to help you because I know that right now you need some support, and
right.
I'm going to give you this with love, not because, you know, I think this pill is going to change, but I know that if indeed I need to detox and help you, I'm giving you with this with love. And so you switching it from this, I'm going to take that pill, it's going to change things, and if it doesn't, then I'm disappointed, to a loving space. You know, we take vitamins because we want to prevent illness, right?
Right,
and
yeah,
so
sure.
I always think that's because we are thinking, we're loving ourselves, we're preventing something bad to happen to us, right? So my feeling is we have to do things with that prevention in our heads.
I totally agree. I mean, I used to, when you talk about the militant guy, that's kind of who I was to myself. I was completely militant, you know, with my diet, with my workout regimen, you know, like I was totally like crazed with it.
Well, try the God, what would God, and that to me is the easiest one I've ever done, and it works so easy. And I just listen. But that means you have to listen. You have to say, God, what would you like me to eat right this minute? And you have to say, okay, I want broccoli. Okay, I'm going to go get broccoli. You know, and you have to listen because it's true. When spirit talks, you have to listen and then do it. And so it's that simple. Like in the morning now, I just wake up and say, okay, what would you want me to eat? And I wait, and I, you know, immediately say, and sometimes I don't eat anything. I just go, okay, I'm just going to have, you know, some almond milk and a banana, you know, half a banana. And then that's really good. It's clean. You know, it's not processed.
Right.
And,
yeah,
and it feels
true.
Good to me. And I go, okay, I like that. And so I feel like I'm giving myself, I'm not telling myself what to do. I'm asking myself what to do.
Right. Yeah, no,
it's totally,
it's a different shift when you're
just
gentle.
Just do that one. Do the gentle, because to me, you don't need anybody yelling at yourself. You need someone.
I really don't.
The love is what we need. The love is always what we need. It's always what helps and heals. It's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
And to me, it's just that self-loathing, all the TV commercials, stay away from radios. I mean, that, you know, that tell you to do stuff. To me, it's like every other commercial is a weight loss commercial or a beauty commercial.
Yeah.
You know, it's just feeding us all that we're not there yet kind of feeling. So to me, I just don't do it. I just don't watch it anymore.
And when I think about it, I used to be satisfied with where I was at. You know, I was satisfied with it. I didn't feel I didn't feel like, you know what women could say, I hated this about myself or I hated that about
mm-hmm.
I really can look back and say, I can't
right.
think of a body part that I said, oh, I can't stand that part of me. Like,
right.
I really didn't, you know, which is so
right.
weird, but it was just all that internal.
Happened after.
Yeah, like
breakup.
All that internal, like chaos just like ensued
right.
after.
That's
this.
A good word. It is chaos.
It was
is
like
chaos.
Complete and utter chaos. Like, it just ended with him and then began with myself, you know,
right.
and he was
right.
definitely critical and judgmental and. You know, he had some wonderful things about him, too, but he had some pretty negative things about him, you know.
Yeah.
And God willing, I don't know how, you know.
So he's just continued, in a sense, where, yeah. And,
yeah.
And, to me, it's really about the remembering. See, I remember this. Before we took on that self-loathing, we were at peace with our bodies. Right, we loved our bodies, and it wasn't an issue, really. And so there was no conversation like that going on. So it wasn't about how much you ate or what you didn't do. It was we were in pure harmony with your body. And so when you like you said, you went into chaos, it set off that dis-ease, you know, out of ease, frequency. That
totally.
Created the imbalance, right? So if anything, that's the imbalance, is that chaos that caused the imbalance to the system, to the nervous system, to the whole energy system. So I always think it's a two-point for me to remember how it was to feel that harmony. And I just remember it. And sometimes I'll look at pictures of myself and I'll two-point myself and go, oh, yeah, oh, that was nice. And I'll just kind of step back in.
Yeah, because I really think about it now. It's like I used to love my Pilates classes. Mm-hmm. They made me feel so good, so connected with myself.
Right, right.
I just so enjoyed it. And it was so nice being able to wake up and feel comfortable within your own body and be able to move around with ease. And now I feel terrible.
Right. And, it is going to. But this is the thing. It's that bottom that we have to get to. That says,
how much more of a bottom can I possibly
but this
go
is it.
To?
But my feeling is it's already there, and it already gets you to that point where I'm here already, and I'm acknowledging that I can't do this by myself, and I can't I can't do this by myself. So
you do see good things coming from me.
I do. I do. And so it is the end of this cycle, and that's what I do see. It's the end of the turmoil.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I do see it. I do see it. And I do see that it took this much.
Yeah,
and
I mean it.
You know, yeah. And I really get that's just how good we were at the self-loathing. You know, we were very efficient. You know,
Yeah. And I know that I'm one of those people that, like, you know how they, like Oprah would always talk about, like, you know, some people need the feather, you know, and you get a little tap and, you know, spirit's telling you to change it. Like, some people hear that, like, little drop of a feather, you know.
Yeah,
I was, like, more the two-by-four girl, you know. Like,
right, right. Oh, yeah.
I really
yeah.
had to get smacked, like, several times. Oh, wait, she's still not getting it. Hang on.
But the thing is, you are getting it. You're getting it from the inside out. You know, it's like the stopping smoking. You are getting healed from the inside out. You're like a little microwave. And so you are cooking from the inside out. And so eventually it will seep, it's seeping in and through, and it's getting to the outer realms, in a sense, and then it will start to, in a sense, change. You know, it's like... We're very used to looking at from the outside in. We really are. I mean, that's mostly how everybody looks. But when you have had that turnaround happen and you have to look from the inside out, everything from that point on is always at a deeper, more meaningful, more transcendent way. You know, it's like you wouldn't know pain, right? You wouldn't know pain unless you had this experience. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't even know how to talk to you about it unless I know because I know it and I know. And so I can relate because of it. And do I think that I would want to change anything? Not really. You know, I think it's made me a better therapist. I think it's made me more sensitive and more. And so I think now that I wouldn't have changed anything, you know, even though it was difficult and it was heart-wrenching and it was horrible and in its own right. It was the biggest and most profound thing that ever happened.
I am sure that I'm going to look back at this one day and say the same thing when I'm,
And you will. And that's what I know.
In a good relationship and, you know. Yep. When I have the things in the life, because when I look at my life now, I'm like, I can't believe it. Like, this is not what I expected at this age. I thought that I would, you know, have a relationship with someone and, you know, not that I have always had faith. So I know that I'm not concerned that I'm not going to meet the right person. I'm not concerned that I'm going to be alone. None of that concerns me because I know that, you know, that person's there for me and out there, and I'll meet them when it's my time.
Right.
But, you know, I was so in love with this person, and when that ended, I took my time, which I always do in between relationships, and I really had hoped that, you know, I'd be settling down with someone now.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have this whole 100-pound journey that I got to go on.
Mm-hmm.
Which holds me back completely from wanting to invite anybody in my life.
Yeah. Well, but see, that's the readiness, too, right there. It's the readiness, the real readiness. You know, it's like the real readiness is when you are really feeling really good about yourself, that's when you're really ready for that new relationship to come in, really.
Yeah.
And until then, I really don't, and I say this lovingly, you wouldn't really accept a relationship because there's still that feeling that I haven't gotten to where I need to be happy in a relationship.
You're right.
And so I don't think that you would be drawing that to you right now. So I really get that still, it's still self-love that needs to be cultivated for you. And if this 100 pounds is going to teach you, and I get that, to really love yourself every single day so that nobody, and I mean this, could come into your life or leave it or come and break up or die or anything that could shake you from your center ever again. That's what you're going to have to believe is going to be the teaching for this one. Because I know it. That's the biggest teaching that you will ever be able to show anyone else. And that's what I get. We're always learning this for not just ourselves, but for others. And I get that is the, like Oprah. I mean, she's taught so many people to really love themselves for who they are. And through everything that she was honest about, everybody went into deeper parts of themselves. And she brought, through her own experiences, us to our own experiences and made us see different parts of ourselves because of her truth.
Right.
And I get that's what everybody's here to do. And I get that that's what you're here to do. That's what I'm here to do. That's what we're all here to do, is to remind each other that this will pass and you will get through this. And at the end of this is such teaching. And the journey is, the journey is just starting for you to keep, and the journey is going to start to go down and down and wait and more love for you and acceptance and belief that really enters into every cell and letting it all go, and it's a process, but it's the opposite of what we've been doing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's the opposite. And we just have to know how to do the opposite. So whatever you're doing, and that's what I say, whatever you're doing now, what would be the opposite? If it's, I go and I do this, and that's something I had to do. I had to go through all my cupboards and everything that I knew I wasn't going to want to have, and I kept saying God wouldn't want me to have this. I put it in the bag, and I gave it to the food bank. So I cleaned that out first, And that was important because then it wasn't there for me to go numb over,
Yeah.
And I mean that, to go numb, because when you are putting something that's not what you're supposed to, you go numb. And so I took that away from myself in the beginning so that I wouldn't even have it. I just put fruits and I put, the gluten-free things, and I thought, okay, fine. So it was a process, and I get that. That's what you're going to be going through, is this process of loving and communicating with your spirit, your God, your guide, that will take you on the journey back into, love yourself. And to me, that one, nobody can do for you. You know what I mean? Nobody can tell you. Nobody could give you the diet for that one. But that, because that one's got to just, you just have to say, I just noticed that I'm at the end of the road. And all of a sudden you feel it's like, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm really done with this.
Yeah.
Do you feel, and I'm going to ask the spirit, do you feel really done with this place right here and right now that you're in? Like you could say, yeah, I'm done talking to my, I really do, I'm done. there comes a point where you just know that it's as far as I'm going to go with this. And I'm going to be turning and I'm going to be going back and I'm going to take what I've learned and I'm going to start to unravel all the things that have kept me here. And I always think it's kind of like just a journey of going, oh yeah, that I felt that, and it's about feeling it, not about thinking it. It's about feeling it.
Right.
Yeah.
Every time you bring up a feeling that you are angry, all the lower, I always call them lower totem energies, those are the heavy ones. Those are the heavy ones.
Yeah.
Those
I think
are the ones.
Something you said that was essential was that don't think it. You know what I mean? Which
mm-hmm.
I'm great at analyzing stuff. I'm great at knowing it, you know. I'm like, oh, I know that's the problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like I really got to, like, let it come from my heart and, like, you know, let it come up through my heart and let it go out and let it go, you know, and just be finished with it instead of just knowing it's there, you know, and being like, oh, I know it's there, but, you know, that's
mm-hmm.
my problem.
Yeah, because that just brings it to the mind again. And then you're back to the knowing. The knowing doesn't allow you for change because it knows.
Yeah.
You know, anytime anybody goes, I know, that means they're not ever going to change. They know.
Yeah.
So I always think, well, we don't want to. So we have to. You have to go
and
through.
And I'm eager. Right? Like, I'm eager to do the change, but I guess I wasn't eager to. I was eager to think the change through.
Yeah.
But I wasn't eager to feel the change out.
Feel the change. You got it. There you go. That's the way to enlightenment, in a sense, is to feel the moment, to feel God's presence, to feel it, to feel how it feels. Like if I was to say, feel the bricks and feel that in which is inside of you.
That's so strange for a person of myself who is intuitive in my own way, who
mm-hmm.
does go through life feeling so much,
mm-hmm.
where I'm sensitive and I can be empathic at times, and to hear myself say that I'm not feeling it,
yeah,
it's almost comical.
Well, it's a numbing that you got
yeah.
into the feelings of yourself.
And I
you
never...
know.
Ate food that way.
Mm-hmm.
I never numbed out with food.
Mm-hmm.
I always had, I guess, you know, when I think back to my life with food and my journey,
mm-hmm.
was much, much more, I guess, normal in a sense.
Yeah, it wasn't anything. I didn't have charge to it, right. That's all it is. It's this oneness that you have, and it's a relationship that you have with food now, that you and the food are in this together, and that you love it instead of you are eating it because you're going, you know, because you're not aware of the nutrients and the love that it's giving you. So it's a different approach. It's feeling the food. So, you know, if you start growing food and you start, you know, for me that was really a major thing, is to have to grow my own tomato. It's like, oh my God, look at this, you know, it's so beautiful.
I know.
And it got me in touch with the process of it all and how a miracle this is, you know.
I could totally understand that.
So all I say is, even if you can't grow it, but you can appreciate you can appreciate it to the point of loving it, you know?
Yeah, unfortunately where I am, I can't grow it. I used to have like a garden and like growing up as a child, my grandmother always had a garden. We were always out there, you know, watering and, you know, doing what we needed to, and we always had fresh salads. But I have the luxury now of living in a town that does have like local growers that come, you know, twice a week, so we can always get fresh like vegetables and those things mean a lot to me because I grew up eating healthy, balanced
mm-hmm.
foods.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right, and so it's a natural instinct for you.
It
to
is
say
a natural
that.
Instinct.
Yeah,
I mean, really, we probably had pasta like once a week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not even. You know, I shouldn't even say that. We really didn't have pasta that often at home.
Mm-hmm.
But my grandmother would. You know, we would have a Sunday dinner probably once or twice a month, and some of the time it would have, you know, like a gnocchi involved in it, you know,
mm-hmm.
or like, you know, a homemade pasta involved. And
mm-hmm.
but those were more specialer.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
More
and they were
time.
with such love, you know.
Yeah.
And such appreciation. And so that's what we've gotten away from, too. We've gotten
totally.
away from what the celebration of food was supposed to be. You know, it was supposed to be a celebration of a meal, of nourishment, of giving yourself food so that you could go work in the fields, you know. And now we really don't have any celebrations. It's just so fast. So fast, 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 you know. And so I think we need to get back, and that's something that I, you know, having the meals at the house and making it more special. And, you know, she has you get a special plate in this book, and she has you pick this beautiful plate setting for you. And it's a beautiful thing to go through, is this honoring the beautiful plate setting and putting the food that's, you know, beautiful and make it so appealing to your eyes, as well as just, you know, filling your stomach, and really making it a beautiful celebration. And so I thought that was very powerful, not to eat standing up, not to eat in front of a TV, you know, to light a candle, even if you're alone. She's alone, you know. She feeds herself this great amount of love that was obvious that I got, that we weren't doing as a society, as a family, even as a person, and when you're alone, you know. It's like, when do you take the time to do, you know? So you had to love yourself differently and really pay attention to the quality and the pace. And
well, that's
the
what
ambience.
I found going forward, like, you know, when I used to, well, when I think back, like, I used to eat all organics, and I would cook myself gourmet meals, like, all the time, you know, and I'd have enough for, like, you know, 2 or 3 days, and I'd make myself, like, a perfect little meal, you know, just for me, because I'm by myself, and, you know, I have a cat, but he doesn't eat it, and I would just enjoy it. It was like a good little, you know, perfect little meal. And people would be like, you made this just for yourself? And I'm like, yeah, you know. And it was, it really becomes like a way of honoring yourself while you're making it, learning it, enjoying it, and then you're eating it now too. Mm-hmm. So it's like a whole process of it. And I used to enjoy that.
Yeah. So there is that in you, that
how. Is. It totally is in me, and that's why I'm like, why can't I just flip this switch? Like,
but, you know, it's just about deciding, and today's the day. You know, today's the day I'm going to try that. And I say the word try, because we don't want to heavy-duty ourselves anymore with, I'm going to do it. I have to do it. You know, no. I'm going to today, I'm going to take special care. I'm going to make a nice, you know, healthy thing. I'm going to put it on a beautiful plate. I'm not going to stand in front of a TV. I'm going to take a bite and enjoy it. You know, I'm going to really savor and honor this food I'm eating. And that's it for today.
It's just that
one day at a time. It's really the truth. It's the only way, is to one day at a time do it differently.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's all it is. It's just changing up what you've been doing. It's not a diet. It's a live it. It's finally starting to step into the life you're in and to really honor it. And that to me is the difference between a diet and a live it, is that I'm living in the love and the appreciation of what and how I feel and what I'm doing to my body. You know, I'm not hurting it, and I'm not telling it what to do, and I'm not mad at it, because it's just not, you know, it's, you know, I'm 52, you know, and I realize, you know what, you still ran a marathon, you know, you're okay, just chill out. And I'll have two conversations sometimes, you know, with the lazy person and then the one that's a very healthy person. And I can, you know, like, I'm like, so my observer steps back and says, okay, go for it, you know. Because it's a very amusing thing, because I do know that I'm not either one of those people. I'm not the skinny person, and I'm not the fat one, and I'm a spirit that is doing my best at being human, and you know, I'm dealing with it the best I can, and I really, when I get to that high level, it's pretty funny. You know, and I really think humor is the only way through it sometimes, is just to say a lot of it is really lightening up to the point where it's, you're not taking it so seriously. You're just doing every day, do your best. Every day I'll change one little thing that's comfortable for me to change. I'm not beating myself up. I'm loving And soon enough, and I say that soon enough because it happens very quickly, because love is, to me, the only way through this. Only way that
yeah.
will work. It's
it,
the only diet
it really, it really will, and it really is the only way, like, through it, is loving. And it's so funny because, you know, I was able to get this little cat that wasn't
uh-huh.
supposed to be mine, but I intuitively knew that he was going to be mine, and I was just fostering him, and, you know, and then we went through our little natural disaster here in New York, and, you know, so this poor little guy was hanging on with me for 3 months
wow.
while we were out of home and, you know,
wow.
living in different places, and then I was able to return to my home, and he has just given me so much love, you know, he's
wow.
totally changed, like,
wow.
you know, he's totally changed me because I guess I was so shut down
yeah.
that when he came in to the picture, I was able to, like, love something. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, just by loving something, I was like, oh, okay, you know. And I've opened up so much more because of him, which is so funny. And then his mom said, you know, look, I can't take him back, which I knew she wasn't going to. And now he's my kitty.
Oh, you know, kitties to me are there. I had one for 15 years that was a healing cat, and he came right after my husband died too.
Uh-huh.
And it was his name was Charlie. My husband's name was Charlie, and it was truly he sent him to me, and I knew it, you know, and I knew it was him sending me this cat. So this cat truly would come into my sessions with me and sit on anybody's body wherever it was hurting. He would sit on their knees or their pelvic or their neck, and he would move around the body, and everybody would say, oh, that's so funny, that's right where it was hurting me, that's it. And he would help me, and
interesting,
he really was. And I have to say, he was what helped me during the most difficult time right after.
Unbelievable.
And he really was. He was my angel. And I know that they're sent to us by, you know, our guides to help us to learn to just love again, to trust
yeah.
love again. You know?
That's honestly how I
yeah.
feel with him. I call
yeah.
him my therapy
and,
cat.
You know, and through his presence will show you again that you are a loving being, and that loving yourself isn't so hard. If, you know, by loving him, you can start to love again. It's like,
yeah.
you know, love is a muscle, right? It's a muscle.
Yep.
And when you care for somebody, you care for his food, you care for his coat, you care for his, you know, well-being. And you get to remember how it feels to care for something. And I think then all of a sudden you can start to do that for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
And that's ultimately bottom
my
line.
My little therapy cat.
Oh, I know, they really are. I am like an animal person, so to me, that's a beautiful thing to know that you have somebody that loves you. That, you know, and this cat was so loud. It was a real aggressive, like, loud speaker. And everybody said, oh, he's always telling you how he's feeling, you know. And he was truly a really demanding. You needed affection right then, you know. You pet me now, and I'm gonna jump up in you. And he wouldn't let me not love him, you know.
So funny.
It's so beautiful, and so really, I know that spirit sent you. It's almost like you have a beautiful. I feel like almost like a grandmother energy that's like so loving, that's kind of supporting you and kind of guiding you through to find your, you know, way again through this. And, you know, it's just like New York went through New York has been just so hit so hard, you know, that energetically, I'm sure the people, I'm sure you have felt the sadness and grief around you. So
yeah,
I'm sure that's, you know,
really,
hard
yeah.
to do.
I have, and when I say to you, like, my life has gone and twists and turns in so many different directions, it's like I lost my job. You know, I was directly hit by the Hurricane Sandy. You know, I live across the street from the ocean, so I was here when, you know, everything kind of went down, and my entire city, you know, was underwater.
Wow.
You know, good 5 to 6 feet worth of water that we weren't, you know, I guess I wasn't expecting, because, you know, Irene, they were boasting, was going to bring so much more, and I left, and, you know, I came back to not much damage. So I really stayed for Sandy thinking it wasn't going to be so bad.
Wow.
Although my body was literally like telling me
to go,
you know,
yeah.
go, you know,
wow.
But I stayed and it was too late. And then once you were here, you had to just write it out.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, it's just, it's been
we talk
process.
About more stuff to, you know, to stuff in a sense, like the terror of it. You know, that terror is very, you
I
know, anytime
you,
your
yeah.
life has been in threat, is threatened, it's like a, you know, it's like a shock kind of thing that you're still kind of dealing with. Like
a lot of people here have definitely gone through some sort of post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, they really,
for
I,
sure. You know,
I'm
I've
sure.
seen it in my neighbors, in my friends.
Yeah.
I've seen it almost in myself, too, you know, like I've always enjoyed the water and living around the water. I've had a lifetime of, you know, growing up on the water, so it's always been very dear to me. That's why I live here. But
yeah.
Now it's like when I think about it, I even said to my sister, yeah, I'd love to live by the water, you know, see the water from my house, but not be so close where she can touch me again, you know, because it
yeah.
was frightening,
really
shocking,
okay.
you know, like
yeah.
to see that water pour around your house and to be in a building that's on fire because all the electrical's going on fire because,
wow.
you know,